about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We gotta get better, man. We came out the last couple days and did good. This was bull. Let's turn it around. We gotta have a great day today, man. Let's go. Get better. One, two, three. Get better.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy.
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
Now that we found love, what are we gonna do?
Shut your mouth and shut it and shut up and shut up!
Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
See, what's up with the world today, man? Can you believe that?
Let's give some love to Maroon 5.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
And now.
And incidentally, have you noticed what's happened to daytime television?
No.
It's all about the women. There's Kelly, there's Rachel, there's The View, there's The Talk, there's Ellen, there's...
Anderson Cooper.
Anderson
Cooper. Our feature presentation.
Well done, Larry King. Well done.
Yeah, nice.
It's all about the women. Hey, party people, welcome on in to yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday. When I heard there was a car fire on the 405, I thought, ooh, maybe it's Beer Mug.
Oh, come on, Bean. But, why are you going to come at me like that?
But apparently you missed it. What happened? What's going on, you guys?
Well, at Wilshire, 405 southbound, there was a massive car fire. I got to it at about 4:45, and CHP had just stopped traffic. So I was sitting there for about 10 minutes, so I naturally I was a little late. But Kevin comes the same way, so he got stuck in it. So he's now just sitting in traffic, I'm thinking.
Is that your route too, Lisa?
No, I take the Hollywood Freeway. And yeah.
What is it? Is it gone now? Is it still causing trouble?
Well,
do we know?
I was on. I'm just pulling my computer now. But on the way in, I heard that traffic was getting off. I think it was Sepulveda and then back on at Wilshire. I'm going to double check. But you had to get off the freeway and then back on at Wilshire to get around it. So at that point, like 10, 15 minutes ago, it was still completely closed.
Even though it super sucks when you're stuck in a backup like that and you just go, oh, man, come on. Really? Today? Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Imagine being the guy who 15 minutes before was just driving to work. And
yeah.
Now he's the guy on the freeway with his car burning up in front of his eyes. Imagine being that guy.
I don't know much about cars. So when they catch on fire, does it just happen while you're driving or does it?
I think it's
resolved. Does it break down and then you pull over and then it catches? What happens?
I think it can be either way.
I think it's a result of a crash, isn't it? I don't think.
No, sometimes there's just a car on fire. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and you know my memory, but I think I have a memory of a beater car that I had catching fire while I was driving one time. I seem to have a memory of that happening. And of course, your impulse is, because we've seen all the movies, is it's going to explode in 15 seconds.
So, yeah. Did you get out and just run like hell?
I think I probably did, yeah. But, I mean, that's the first thing you think. Car on fire, you think, it's going to blow up. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And, of course, most of the time, the car doesn't blow up.
I've never, actually. I mean, I have reported on and seen cars fully engulfed. I don't believe they've ever blown up.
Yeah.
And
somehow
they
always do in the movies.
Yes.
This one looked like it was going to blow up, too. It was rage. I took a video of it. It was going.
Wow.
Well, now right. I'm looking at it. It says the left two lanes on both sides of the freeway. So now you can get through at least.
Okay.
So that's good.
Good. All right. We'll keep you posted. Hopefully they'll get that out of there in a little bit. Real quick, I wanted to mention this story because I love it so much. You know, the fun of playing the lottery, if you are a lottery player, is the dreams, is what am I going to do? And, you know, everybody's got their vision. If you buy a lottery ticket, you buy it with the hope that you're going to win. And maybe your vision is, you know, F you to your boss and you just drive away in your new Jag and never look back. Maybe it's, you know, early retirement. I don't know what I'd do, but I don't think I'd do what Adrian Bayford is doing. He's in Britain. He won $232 million in the Euro Millions lottery, you guys.
Nice.
Wow.
$232 million.
That is enough for you and your family for the next three generations.
Yes, you're set, right? He says, and he has not made an offer yet, but he says that what he would like to do is have the original Guns N' Roses get back together. The original lineup. He says, I'm a real fan. He is a music fan who runs a record store in Britain.
Uh-huh.
And he says that's his dream. And I don't know how much money he's willing to put together for that dream. I don't know that there is enough money to get Axl and Slash on stage playing together. You know, they turned down the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame reunion that they were offered and every other opportunity they've had. But wouldn't that just be crazy if this guy had Guns N' Roses playing at his house because he had enough money to make it happen?
That is unbelievable. Like, he would be willing to spend millions to make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, he's got $232 million. Again, I wish there were an offer in this article. I'd love to know, is he talking about $20 million? Is he talking about $50 million? $100 million? I mean, how much of his cash is he willing to give up for this?
What do you think it should cost?
I mean,
I'd top out at five.
$5 million? You'd be willing to throw $5 million at it?
I guess. I mean, if I was that big a fan...
Yeah, yeah, maybe so. I mean, I guess if it's, I mean, $5 million to him, it sounds ridiculous, but $5 million to him is nothing, right?
Right, right.
I mean, he would not miss that.
Yeah, but doesn't he know that Axl is late to everything?
Yeah, so he'd only get $1 million worth.
Yeah. I don't know how it would work, but I'm gonna keep an eye on that story and find out if there's an actual offer and if anybody nibbles. I mean, there are bands you can hire. I mean, you literally can get the Rolling Stones to play your wedding if you give them enough money.
Right.
I mean, there are bands that are out there for hire. So I don't know what Guns N' Roses' number is, but I love that. I mean, look, that's part of the fun of the huge money lotteries is you think, well, like that woman, there was a woman in the Midwest somewhere last year, I think, who bought a NASCAR team. You know, that was her dream. She wanted to be a NASCAR team owner. Now she is.
That's unbelievable.
Kevin might buy a professional soccer team. You know, I mean, you have that kind of money, you can really live the dream. But Guns N' Roses, we'll see what happens.
There you go.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Can't be mad at that.
No, you can't. We do have a good show today. Boss Rutan is going to be here, and Beer Mug is going to kick his ass.
Nope.
Yeah.
I heard Lisa.
Lisa
was telling me that.
I heard you
say that. I did not say that.
got a new MMA movie coming out. Got a new MMA gym that has opened up, so we'll talk to Boss all about that. It's been a while since we've caught up with him. Mike Rowe is going to be in studio just for you, Lisa.
Thank you.
What's he going to sell us? Is he selling us a new Ford or a new Chevy? I can never remember what he's advertising.
Ford.
He's selling us a new Ford.
Yeah.
There's something about that dude that's so believable and so likable.
Yeah, he's the whole package.
Yeah, he's a good dude. I always enjoy when Mike Rowe stops by today. On the heels of the Amanda Bynes accident that Ralph told us about yesterday, her fourth car accident in 6 months, in about 25 minutes or so, we're going to be seeing if you can top that. I didn't know that we'd find anyone that had more than four motor vehicle accidents until in the office yesterday when the King of Mexico says he's been involved in seven.
He's not a good driver.
Perhaps not. And the King is a young man. I bet we have people listening who have had even more than that. So we're going to want to talk to you about a half an hour or so. We have our friend Alan St. Pierre from Normal. Mm-hmm. He's on the phone today. Of course, Normal is the organization that deals with marijuana legislation around the country, and he'll be talking to us about what's going on with the LA dispensaries and the continuing struggle between the federal and the state government. None of us can get our heads around why this has not been sorted out yet, but it definitely makes it difficult to know what you're allowed to do and what you're not, what's legal and what's not. We'll find out how that's going with Alan coming up. We've got a scientific survey, Kevin Bean Scientific Survey, where you get to be the jury on a story today. We got a How Does the Story End today? Adam Carolla on the program today, and the largest little leaguer in history. All of that straight ahead, plus Ralph Schilbiz beat next right after this on an all-new Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
That's over.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. Are we debuting the new moment here?
Let's do it right here.
We're a little late.
I heard there was talk.
Yeah, there was talk because we were talking to Kristen Bell this week about her new movie Hit and Run, which of course is in theaters everywhere.
She's so sexable, that Kristen Bell.
She is very sexable.
By the way, I did say that on accident, but I'm standing by it. I think that's a good word, and I'm going to try and start using it.
I like it. You should introduce it.
She is sexable.
Her movie's, of course, coming out this Wednesday, August the 22nd. Or if you're Kevin, it's different.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Kristen Bell, thank you very much for coming on the show. House of Lies in January, and Hit and Run is this Wednesday, October 22nd.
Yep.
That was A Moment with Kevin. Woo!
Is it October already? The year has just flown by.
I put all the emphasis on this Wednesday.
Yeah.
And then threw away October, which is not the correct date.
Boy, Halloween's right around the corner, and then before you know it, boom, you're right through to New Year's.
Well, Kevin, that makes you not sexable. How about that?
Yeah, well, I'm used to it. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
What do you do if you're LAPD and there's been a jewelry robbery in the Hollywood Hills? Well, you, like anybody else, you round up the usual suspects.
Mm-hmm.
That means questioning Lindsay Lohan.
Is she the usual suspects?
Oh, yeah.
She's the whole list?
They bring her in for lineups regularly.
Sticky Fingers Lohan, ever since she walked out with that necklace from that jewelry store, I think she's the go-to gal when it comes to jewel heists.
What did she have to do with it?
She was at a party last Sunday night. And here's the thing. When she parties, apparently it's just 48 hours. She just goes to a house on a Thursday night and leaves around noon on Saturday.
Wow, be prepared for her.
She likes to sleep over because I don't think she has a house. I think she just lives in people's homes as she parties. Anyway, the owner of the house in Hollywood Hills where the party was being held discovered some valuable watches and sunglasses were missing. Called the police immediately, and authorities questioned a few people on the scene, including Lindsay Lohan.
Interesting.
Word is she wasn't exactly cooperative. She said to the cops, "Am I a suspect?" They said, "No, not this time." Then she just walked away from them. Now, rumor has it the host thinks the perpetrators are two men that she brought along with her to the party.
Really?
She thinks they were the
So she could have an alibi and yet still get the stuff.
But her accomplices, see, they clean up and then they all go back to their hideout and split the loot.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Lohan gang. She's a Lohan gang.
She's a master criminal.
She is. She's got it. Allegedly. That's how she gets by. She's got all these heists. It's like white collar, man. She's stealing art from museums, and she's scaling the sides of buildings, I'm sure. She's like a cat burglar. Congratulations to our buddy Jimmy Kimmel. News came out yesterday that ABC is finally moving his hilarious late-night TV show, Jimmy Kimmel Live, to the 11:35 time slot.
How's that for an endorsement?
That's awesome.
That, for the first time, puts him in direct...
That's not supposed to be happening, sorry.
The direct competition with Jay Leno and David Letterman. So, yeah, that's good news for him. Starting January 8th is when he moves to the new time slot. Hollywood Reporter says the shift is a result of his improving ratings and growing advertising demand.
Good for him.
3% jump in total viewers this season so far for Jimmy. The only late-night broadcast program to increase its viewership.
You know, I don't say this because I'm biased, but I think it's the best late-night show.
I do, too.
I do, too.
I really do. Mr. Kimmel will be joining us on Friday here on the Kevin Bean Show. I have a chance to talk to him, see how excited
he
is about it.
Nope, not anymore.
Really?
Well, not. He doesn't need us now. He's on 11:35.
11:35, Jimmy doesn't need us at all.
Why would he waste his time with this show?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he go on a show that people listen to and actually help him now that he's got a real product to sell?
That's crazy. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And Nightline has been in that time slot, hasn't it, Ralph, since 1979?
Yes.
And they're moving Nightline. I mean,
started during the Iranian hostage crisis.
Is that true?
Yes. To give you an
update. It was supposed to be just a temporary show. It was just supposed to be a nightly update of what was going on with the hostage crisis, but it proved so popular that they just kept it.
While we're talking about television, Kelly Ripa is going to announce who her new co-host is. Apparently, September 4th. Is the date the show will reveal who the person sitting next to her will be.
I hear Lil Wayne.
It's Michael Strahan.
What?
Spoiler alert, it's Michael Strahan.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You know that?
Looks like it.
That's what they're saying.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I think he's a good choice.
Yeah, NFL star, Michael Strahan, good personality.
Yeah.
Very likable. We'll bring fresh eyes to that show, I think. It might bring some men, actually, to watch that show. People who like Michael and his work on Fox. I hope he doesn't lose the Fox Sunday NFL gig.
He's good
on the pre-show. Yeah.
So, and lastly, in the television news department, The Office. NBC announced the series will be ending after the upcoming Season 9, which begins in September. So it's the final season of The Office for Office fans.
It's about time.
Yeah, I think we've all had a pretty good run with The Office. Avril Lavigne and Nickelback frontman Chad Kroeger are engaged after dating for just 6 months.
Sorry, ladies.
People.com, yeah. Sorry, ladies. Avril's taken. People.com say that Chad dropped some major money on a 14-carat diamond ring for Avril.
Wow. 14 carats.
That's a big diamond. Chad wrote a song for Avril's upcoming album, and that's how they met. Things just clicked, and they're just head over heels. A lot of people hoping that Avril will become the Yoko that will finally break up Nickelback. All hope. Can't we? Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tori Amos is 49 years old today. I just love her to bits.
I do, too.
She is super talented. As is keyboardist James DeBarge of the legendary band DeBarge.
How's there a DeBarge
every month? What?
Every week there's a DeBarge.
There's a lot of DeBarges.
Well, let's not mention them all.
I'm telling you, you can't. Look, in for a penny, in for DeBarge, I always say. He's 49 years old
today. I think Ben Franklin said that first, didn't he, Ralph?
He absolutely did. Ty Burrell of Modern Family is 45 years old today. And my old buddy from my Joe Schmo days, Kristen Wiig, who went on to bigger and better things with Saturday Night Live and now Bridesmaids and a big-time movie career. She is 39 years old today. Wish Kristen a happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, still hooking you up this morning with The Offspring and Neon Trees. They are not only playing October 5th at the Palladium. We give you tickets to that. But then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to see them again, this time in New York City. It's destination number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. If you've never had the pleasure of seeing The Offspring, trust us on this.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. They are great. So get all the details and listen for your chance to win. Right here at the world-famous K-Rock.
Ralph was talking in the Showbiz Beat about Amanda Bynes and how she got in another car accident. And that it was, if I'm not mistaken, 4 accidents in 6 months.
Yeah. Refresh my memory. Amanda Bynes, famous for what show? Dave, you're in here. You would know.
She used to be the Amanda Bynes show.
Yeah, and then What I Like About You with Jenny Garth.
Oh, yeah, What I Like About You. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4 car accidents. 3 of them, by the way, she's been accused of. 3 hit and runs. And this 4th accident, the one that's in the news right now, she's in the San Fernando Valley just a couple of nights ago when a car rear-ended her rental. Yes, she was in a rental because one of her previous accidents, that car is still in the shop. So she's driving a rental. She got in an accident for that. How, what if she took the extra insurance?
Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so.
We were talking yesterday with Ralph about how generally if you are rear-ended, it's – whose fault? It's your fault, right?
It's the guy who rear-ended.
Whoever rear-ended you.
Whoever rear-ended you.
Oh, the other guy's fault.
Yeah. Yeah, he's supposed to keep enough distance that he can stop, and it's almost – it's about 100% they give it the ticket to the guy who ran into you.
The driver of the other car, according to TMZ, says that Amanda made a reckless maneuver that triggered the collision.
I wouldn't doubt that, like slamming on her brakes to turn quick.
Exactly. Or yeah, something. And that's usually what happens. I mean, that's the cause of a lot of rear end collisions is somebody just slams on their brakes ahead of you, and you don't have any reason to expect that's going to happen. Cops showed up this time. No one was ticketed, by the way. But we got to thinking about, and this is separate from the conversation we always have about, hey, there are some celebrities that just need to get a driver. 4 traffic accidents in 6 months. What's going on here?
That is crazy. That's a crazy number of accidents. And then we started asking each other, how many accidents have you been in?
Mm-hmm.
I think my number is 3 or 4. Lisa's about...
I think three in my lifetime.
Bean is not around people or cars, so I'm probably pretty low.
I think I'm two. One of those, I was a passenger.
And then the King of Mexico spoke up with his number.
Are we including being a passenger as well?
No. I don't think so. No, I think we're talking about driving.
No, you as the driver.
So for driving, for
how
me,
much does that up your number? My God.
here's what we're going to ask for. 1-800-520-1067. The most car accidents that you've been in. Now, we have to say that it had to be enough of an accident that you stopped your car and got out. Did you turn it into insurance? That's different.
Yeah.
But right. Did you hit enough that you had to get out of the car? Now, Bean, you said... 2, but 1 you were a passenger. So that's
what I was a passenger. So that one, I guess, we take off based on this criteria. And the other one, by the way, just for background, is it was during a tremendous ice and snowstorm, and I was going across a bridge that was just a sheet of ice, and I just skidded right into the side of the bridge.
Sweet,
and didn't hit another car. It was just my car. But Dave, who's been driving less time than you and I have, Kevin, has been in. How many accidents as a driver?
Well, real accidents.
No, not real.
Okay, all
had
of
to
them.
Stop the car.
You mean legitimate accidents?
I would say 7 in a 3-year period.
What? 7 in a 3-year period. 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't had an accident in a long time, but when I was having them, like, you know, it was
if
fun.
If Mexicans had insurance, imagine how much your insurance would be.
7 in 3 years.
You know what's funny? Out of those 7 accidents, only 1 has gone to insurance. And not because, you know.
It's
because
you don't have insurance.
No, I've always had insurance.
Do you jump out of your car and yell?
Not my fault.
No, usually I would say 6.
No, Dave jumps out of his car and says, no hablo inglés, no hablo inglés. Which is the only Spanish he knows.
Yeah. Like Felipe Esparza says, I just go, cool, we're cool. Yeah. No, I mean, like.
How did they not go to insurance?
Well,
they weren't that bad, you know.
Or
and then, like I told you guys, once someone else got hit the second time, and it was just my luck. The guy's like, "I'll charge him." So,
but that was a well-told story.
Yeah.
So Dave got in a minor accident with a guy, and then he was gonna take care of it, but the guy got in another bigger accident just before Dave got back to him, and so the guy went, "I'm just gonna charge that guy for everything." But so 7 in a 3-year period. All right, so we're looking for you if you can beat that. 1-800-520-1067. If you could beat 7 in a 3-year period, or how many you've had in your life is also fascinating if it's a big number.
Yeah. Let me tell you about Jay Lewis, who I got an email from, and I am urging you to pick up your phone immediately and call us, Jay, at 1-800-520-1067. He says he has totaled 8 cars.
Wow.
Wow.
Over 2 years.
Oh, 2 years? God. You can't possibly have insurance.
Is he legally blind?
Total.
See, that's the only way I can imagine that is if you go out on the road every night and cannot see anything.
Oh, I just remembered another one.
So 8?
Yeah, and 2 of them were not my car. So,
all right.
Yeah, so
how do those
gets
people
better.
Stay on the road? How do you keep a license?
I don't know, because you would think they would take your license immediately.
Yeah.
Dave, out of these 8 accidents, what percentage would you say are your fault?
6.
That's when you used to fall asleep, huh?
Not my fault.
That was that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 6 of them, I would say, were my fault.
And what turned it around for you where now you haven't been in an accident in some time?
I don't know. I just don't get tired anymore. I guess.
He used to fall asleep all the time.
That was a big problem.
Now he sleeps
in traffic.
At work.
Now
he sleeps here.
Now I'm here all the time.
That way he doesn't have to.
All right. Let's take a couple of calls here. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Stephanie. Stephanie's on line 2. Let's find out where she's at. Amanda Bynes, 4 accidents in 6 months. It doesn't have to be as short a time as that, but we're looking for the most car accidents, a car accident serious enough that you had to get out of your car to look at the damage and talk to the other driver. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you.
Excellent. Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So you've had how many accidents in what amount of time?
I've had 3 accidents in a 2-year period of time, but 2 of them were rollovers, and the other one, I actually rear-ended somebody, and it was found mutual fault.
Mutual fault?
Tell me about the rollovers. That sounds like a pretty serious crash.
Yeah, well, the first one was I was coming home from work, and it was very, very late. I'm a bartender, and it was very, very, very late, actually. And there was another accident on the freeway, and it was about 4:30 in the morning. And I was coming out of a...
Let's fast forward to the part where your car flips.
I was coming out of the curve, and I hit water and fishtailed, and I had bald tires. And before I knew it, the car was going over.
Sweet.
Wow, you had everything going for you. 4:30 in the morning, water on the road, bald tires, tired. You're begging for it.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, kind of. Well, yeah, I guess it's the time period that I was driving home, definitely.
Right. Yeah, you hadn't mentioned it was very late. You also strike me as someone who drinks heavily as a bartender.
No way.
Stephanie.
Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie.
You're not supposed to do that while you're working.
Well, we know.
Of course not.
Illegitimately,
right.
That's bad.
Right.
If you're a good bartender, you would.
We appreciate that. Thank you. All right, let's try Jonathan, line 1 here. Jonathan, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, what a do, nephew?
What a do.
What a do.
Are you the guy who emailed?
Yes, I am.
All right, tell us more.
Okay, so right after high school, I got into this little series of totaling cars. First started off with an 80.
If you don't mind my saying, give us the total number and the total amount of time.
It was eight total cars in 2 years.
8 total cars in 2 years.
How did you afford to buy the second one and the third one and the fourth one? Where was all this money coming from to put you back behind the wheel of a new car after you total one?
Honestly, I don't even know. They weren't brand new cars. They were always I bought it for maybe $1,000.
Right.
Right, but you were just out of high school, you said, right?
Yeah.
Well, did your parents continue to let you drive after the second time you totaled a car? Why didn't they take your license away?
I think they were more worried about having to drive me.
Really? Then 8?
Then your life.
You total a car for the 6th time and they go, keep driving. We don't want to take you.
I think the 7th or 8th one was actually their car.
Oh, well, they had it coming if they didn't stop you. And if they loaned you their car, they're idiots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. All right. But, well, you sound like a good driver to me.
I feel good.
Did you turn it around, like Dave? Did you get to a point where you would where you stopped having accidents?
Oh yeah, my recent car I've had for 5 or 6 years. So.
Oh, you're due, don't you think?
Check you out. It's a world record in your house.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, Jonathan. Thanks for calling. We got to take a break. 1-800-520-1067. These are fascinating stories, but Lisa, no matter how many times we ask, we can't figure out how they keep getting back behind the wheel of the car.
Yeah. That's what I don't get.
Parents aren't taking them away. The law's not taking them away. Somebody still sells them a car. What's going on?
This is a big problem here.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your call.
Hey!
106.7. Hey,
guys, we're on.
K-Rock is KROQ. It is 24 minutes after 6.
Alan St. Pierre from the National Organization of the Reform of Marijuana Laws joins us coming up in minutes to talk about the latest war on pot in our city. By the way, we have to, in case you're wondering why we get him on so early, because he's too stoned later to talk to him. So talk to us. So we got to do it early. Right now, though, we're talking about Amanda Bynes, four car accidents in 6 months. We're taking calls from Kevin and me listeners who can beat it, either with more, you know, more accidents or a shorter amount of time. Man, we've got some crazy drivers listening today. Let's talk to everybody. Hang on. Mark, Daniel, Christine. You all hang on. And as you listen to us talk to Tricia, understand whatever her number is, the next caller is going to be more. So let's see how high this goes.
All right. Hi, Tricia.
Hello. Hey, Kevin. Hey, Dean. Hey, Lisa May.
Hello. Ooh,
tell us the sound of that.
Tell us how bad of a driver you are, please.
Okay. 7 accidents, wrecked 6 cars.
7 accidents, wrecked 6 cars.
You mean wrecked? Wait. I just happen to be Asian.
No, you don't happen to be Asian. No, you are Asian.
There's nothing that happens about it. So you say wrecked 6 cars. You mean totaled?
I've totaled 6 cars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tricia, what? How do you have the confidence to get back behind the wheel?
I don't know. I wear a helmet.
But seriously, aren't you afraid that every day you get in your car could be the day you die?
And you know what? It turns out that I'm a claims adjuster now for an insurance company.
Right.
I talk about accidents all day. So what happens is that, like, I kind of, like, not pay attention, but
really?
Then other people aren't paying attention. Like, one person just made a left-hand turn in front of me. My car caught on fire. Cholo tried to pull me out. It was a mess. And that one wasn't my fault.
Of course
not. The other ones I just rear-end people by accident.
You rear-end people five times then? 6 times?
5 times.
Wow!
Like, I'm just kind of like not paying attention when I should be.
Trisha, I got to tell you, you're not doing your people any favors.
That's the day my parents counseled me from their insurance like a long time ago.
Thank you very much for the call. Please don't ever drive again. Let's go to Daniel on line 4. All right, so Trisha was 7. Let's see where Daniel's at. Daniel, thanks for calling the Kevin DeBean Show.
This is a wake-up call. 9.
9!
In how many years?
In 4 years, I lost to the Asian woman.
You're worse than her. Yes, 9 accidents in 4 years.
And are you willing to take any responsibility for it?
Well, for the ones that were my fault, I've been rear-ended a fair amount. But yeah, there are just some jackassery moments that's no one's fault but my own.
And what's going on? Why do you think you're having so many accidents? Trisha at least admitted to she just doesn't pay attention. Is that your thing too?
I've been a good driver lately, but when I first got my license, I was a little wild child, and I drove my first car into the ground, and now I got one that I actually paid for, so I'm a lot more careful.
You didn't care about your cars before. Daniel, let me ask you a question, because this is fascinating to me, and we've been trying to find this out. How are you still on the road? Didn't the state take away your license?
No, they were varying degrees of accidents. I only totaled 1 car. That girl totaled what? 4 cars?
She totaled 5, I think.
That's irresponsible.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Yeah, she's irresponsible. Exactly. All right. Thank you for the call. All right. So Daniel was 9. Let's go to Mark. He's on line 3 joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mark, how many?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
How are you? And how many accidents have you been in and what amount of time?
10 accidents in 6 years.
10 in 6 years.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Oh my
What's going
God,
on?
I'm afraid to drive.
10 how accidents. Is possible?
Crazy.
What was the most serious one?
The most serious one was last year in July. That was the first time I totaled my Scion.
You totaled it?
Yeah.
Scion!
only one of these 10 have been totaled, and I guess I'm first place in something.
How many of the 10 have been your fault, would you estimate?
I could answer that. All.
Same thing almost as the girl.
So all but a couple.
Yeah. What do you think your problem is? Are you drinking behind the wheel, or what are you doing?
No, I don't like drinking and
driving too fast.
A lot of the times I've been distracting, distractions. Water bottles have been falling under my brake pedals.
most of the time.
His car is just a giant mess.
Wow.
She's driving around in a trash can, basically, is what he's doing. Look, if I've already had five accidents, six accidents, nine accidents, I'm not doing nonsense. I'm not rolling around on the floorboards while I'm driving trying to find a water bottle. I understand that I'm in danger.
The water bottle can wait. Right? All right. Do you still have insurance?
Yes.
You still
have insurance? I'm going to court this morning.
All right, good luck.
Hope someone's driving you.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for calling. All right, we got time for one more.
Oh, geez, really?
More than 10.
We're at 10 right now. Hi, Christina. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Tell us about your driving.
I feel so embarrassed now. I've had 12 in 5 years.
12 in 5 years?
Come on. Come on.
You are a terrible driver. Right? Admit it.
You know, when I first got my driver's license, I thought I was Mario Andretti. And apparently when there's, you know, freeways full of cars, you can't really maneuver in and out of them so well. So.
Well, you can if you're willing to bump people.
Exactly. So you know, it's a little nuts.
Speed is your thing. You just drive too fast. Is that a contributing factor? You drive too fast.
It is a huge contributing factor.
Now, let me just ask you a question. When you get to five accidents, you know, six accidents, seven accidents, most people go, wow, that's seven accidents. Eight, nine, ten accidents. You go, oh, most people go, there's something wrong. 11, 12 in 5 years. Really?
I was young. And
so what? Everybody else that was your age managed to not get in 12 accidents in 5 years. You're the reason Los Angeles traffic sucks ass.
This is true.
Oh.
And the reason everybody else's insurance is so much, too, by the way.
If you
have 12 accidents in 5 years, by the way, you're having more than one accident every 6 months. I mean, it's just a regular thing for you. Do you feel like you beat it now and you're in control?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I've not had an accident
in like
a
week.
22. Yeah, since I was 22, so 6 years.
Six years.
An
accident 6 years.
You had a hell of a 5 years before that 6 years.
I did.
Wow. All right. I feel a little bit better now.
I only ever totaled
good
one car.
All right. That doesn't make it better.
If you were going to be casting an MMA movie, Kevin, would you automatically put Kevin James and Henry Winkler in it or no?
Henry Winkler, for sure.
The film is called Here Comes the Boom, and Boss Rutten is also in the movie. He'll be joining us next hour on the Kevin Beach Show, plus talking about his new MMA gym. Also, Mike Rowe on the show later on today. From time to time here on the Kevin Beach Show, we like to keep you posted what's going on in the war on pot, particularly in Southern California with the medical dispensaries that seem like every day when they show up to unlock the place, they don't know if they're going to be raided by the feds or not. It doesn't seem like it's getting any better, even though at one point we thought it was.
What was the proposition that we passed 15 years ago?
You mean that allowed pot?
215. Thank you, Dave. Of course, Dave knows.
Yeah, which said the people spoke and said, yes, this is, we're cool with it. But then that never happened.
That never happened. Yeah, it seems like it's just not going away, and we don't get it. And we've been saying that for a long time. But the man who keeps his eye on not only California but all over the country with what's going on with marijuana laws is our friend Alan St. Pierre, who joins us from our nation's capital right now. He is with NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Alan, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good day. I'm well. Thank you.
So it looks like you guys aren't going out of business anytime soon, right?
No. In fact, Nate Silver up at the New York Times has a guesstimate in place that to get to the 60 percentile, which is our magic number, not 50%, which the Gallup poll now indicates Americans across the country want marijuana outright legalized.
Right.
But to get to 60%, Nate has a guesstimate that we're going to really need to get to about 2020. So this is definitely in play for another 10 years in this country, and certainly in the most important state in the nation, California.
Is that number the just flat legalize it, or is that medical?
That's flat legalize it.
Okay.
In the United States in general, 75% of Americans, and certainly the same case in California, support this notion of medical access to marijuana, which you're correct. In 1996, the citizens voted for Prop 215, but here's the real rub. Go about 1,000 miles to your east in Colorado, there are 2,000 legal dispensaries. There's a Colorado medical marijuana law enforcement division. Men and women walk around with guns on, making sure people sell cannabis correctly. They make the medibles the right way,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. The feds are not raiding those dispensaries.
Because why?
Because the state is a partner in the industry. In California, the real pox on the politician's house is in Sacramento, where they have not passed any state laws that make it so that you can have laws that make sense from Mount Shasta all the way to San Diego. Because right now, in 50% of the counties in California, you can get some retail access to marijuana for medical purposes. But in 50% of the other counties, you cannot whatsoever.
But let me ask you this question. If in Sacramento they say we're okay with it, is the federal government, which is still not okay with it, going to leave us alone?
Well, one would hope they would, because one out of eight Americans live in California. It'd be the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world all by itself. So while we're certainly keen to see places like Colorado, Oregon, and Washington voters this year have a chance to vote for marijuana legalization, as you know, your brethren in California just 2 years ago, only by 3 percentage points, did not vote for legalization.
Wow.
But in our point of view, it's a fait accompli. When put before the voters again in California, at some point, they're going to vote for legalization.
Right, but that doesn't, it's not going to make any difference.
Well, with the federal government, you're right that here in Washington, I can assure you, there's a detachment that is disturbing, but these changes do bubble up from the state, and when a big, huge, important political state like California, not to say anything bad about Colorado, Oregon, and Washington, but hey, California is really what moves national politics.
Yeah, it's the big dog. Alan, let me ask you this. We were talking to Tommy Chong the other day, like we do, and he pointed out how disappointed he and others were with President Obama, who we really thought was a new, young, fresh face with a modern idea of what's going on with marijuana in this country, a guy in his 40s. We really expected more out of him. Tommy seems to think that that's all the plan for term number two if Mr. Obama is reelected. Do you anticipate any kind of move from the feds if the president gets back in? He doesn't have to worry about votes again?
Well, to the extent that the president does have a lot of sway over moving marijuana policy, no doubt about it. Congress certainly has a lot of say in this too. But the president could sign executive orders that could really stabilize these laws across the country. If he were to be reelected, he's got about an 18-month window that would allow for such. After that period of time, it's going to close shut immediately. It is regrettable that he's as timid as he has been on it, that yes, we did hear a lot of fun, happy talk about medical marijuana.
He did come out and say in that many words, the federal government is not going to pursue this, right?
He said you can watch it in this. In our world of the internet, you can watch him say it on YouTube over and over again. Yep.
But, Alan, isn't some of it local issues? Like Carmen Tutanich, our city attorney, he has been going after them like crazy. And there's something that confuses me. There's some issue about collectives versus retail storefronts. And what is that all about?
Sure. Well, to the 2 points. One is, you're right, you can have a state law and you can have an individual player, like an important player like the city attorney, who themselves sort of substitutes their own mores and values for that of the voters. I mean, who's kidding who? In the Los Angeles Basin, people support medical access to marijuana.
Of course.
So for him to do this is really, from my point of view, a terrible thing politically. But to your other point, the difference between collectives and a retail outlet. Technically, under the California law, these are supposed to be collectives where there is not supposed to be the sharing of profit. It's not supposed to be purely retail. It's supposed to have a membership. They're supposed to be doing other things just than selling cannabis, things like dietary, psychological, rolfing, who knows? All these other things that come along with wellness is all part of a decision that came down from the Supreme Court in California 3 years ago called Mensch that says that these dispensaries need to be more than just an outlet for buying medical cannabis.
And so that's what they used to come down on him.
Yeah, and those who are really doing this correctly should have a wide, diversified portfolio, and they're not just selling cannabis out of a retail storefront.
Okay. And just because it's been so long since I've thought about these people, what's the primary concern from those who are against decriminalization of marijuana? Is that they think it's a gateway drug that'll get all their kids hooked on heroin in 6 months?
That certainly would be the longest myth that most of us, I'm 47, have lived within our lives. Yeah, so that's number one. Number two, that it makes people sloven, lazy, unmotivated. And I just simply suggest to them, Michael Phelps.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted. during the Olympics, don't let your kids smoke pot or they might end up being the most winning Olympian ever.
And on the other side of that continuum, my mentor and a guy I love to use cannabis with and talk about the cosmos, Carl Sagan. I mean, really, the idea that cannabis impairs people so that they can't be the full citizens they want to be is pretty absurd.
Well, I got to tell you, the one thing that we know in California is that it's impossible to find. We just can't get weed.
All right. NORML is the organization, National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. And for people who want more information to find out what you're doing locally and across the country, it's just NORML, NORML.org. Right, Alan?
It is. And we are bringing our 41st National Conference to Los Angeles, to the Omni this year. We'll be there October 3rd through the 6th. So we would very much like to do a personal hookup, if you will, while we're in Los Angeles.
Wait, what do you mean by hookup?
Hey, we'll take a personal hookup. Absolutely. You're buying.
Well, hey, I'm looking for that good, high-quality California produce.
Alan St. Pierre, always a pleasure to talk to you. The Kevin Beach. Thanks for the time.
Best to you.
Tongue-Tied by Group Love coming up. Also, some Muse, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and the Beastie Boys next hour here on the K-Rock.
Yeah, that's us, the K-Rock.
No, we love the K-Rock.
Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, it's another case of another musician telling another politician, don't play my music, please.
Stop.
When you go to your rallies. This time it's Dee Snider, leader of Twisted Sister, is upset that the Romney Ryan campaign is using his song "We're Not Going to Take It" as their intro music for a rally in Pennsylvania on Tuesday. Dee Snider released the following statement: "I emphatically denounce Paul Ryan's use of my band's Twisted Sister's song, We're Not Going to Take It, in any capacity. There's almost nothing he stands for that I agree with, except the use of P90X.
He is the most buff presidential candidate ever, vice presidential
candidate ever.
They say
he's shredded.
That's funny.
Romney and Ryan are having a hard time finding musicians that will let them play any song.
That's why they don't ask.
Silver Sun Pickups, Tom Morello.
Yeah, good try.
Yeah, they've all stepped up and said, don't use my music.
What about Hank Williams Jr., the obvious choice that they should be using?
Well, which song?
It doesn't, I mean,
just any song by
him? My boot up your American ass.
No, that's Toby Keith. Oh. How about Red Solo Cup? They should just play Red Solo Cup.
There you go. Yeah. You saw Hank this week on stage talking about how the president was a Muslim and he hates the military and he hates America and he hates God and we hate him. I mean, he'd let the Romney camp use whatever they wanted.
Call Dave Mustaine.
There you go.
There must be a Megadeth song they'd let you have for cheap.
There's another one. Why not?
Quit your belly aching, Mitt.
Oh, yeah.
While we're talking about music, Avril Lavigne and Nickelback frontman Chad Kroeger are engaged. It's a Canadian royal wedding.
She scored.
It's a Canadian royal wedding. I'm going to Canada this weekend. I can't wait.
Are you?
They must be going crazy up there, getting prepared for the big event.
Crazy wedding fever.
Yeah. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon up in Ottawa.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'll be taking the temperature of the Canucks up there and see how they feel about this union. They've only been dating for about 6 weeks. Word is that Chad dropped some major money on the engagement ring. 14-carat diamond.
He came up to her with 6-carat, and she just shook her head no. Yeah. Came up with 8-carat, 10-carat.
This is the second marriage for each of them. Avril, of course, was married to Sum 41 frontman Derek Whibley in 2009. She's also dated Brody Jenner. This girl's horrible taste in men.
Look, I don't know this Chad guy. He might be very, very nice. But if there's any chance you're going to have to hear Nickelback music in your home, I think you got to consider that and say no, right?
Yeah.
That's a deal breaker.
She goes, honey, you know at the wedding? Yeah, no Nickelback music at the wedding. Can we talk to the DJ and make sure that doesn't happen? And the rumors are buzzing that Nicki Minaj will be a judge on American Idol this upcoming season.
They got a lot of rumors out there, don't they?
Rumors are also buzzing that Mariah Carey's losing her S about it.
Love it.
Does not want to share the limelight with Nicki Minaj.
Love it.
New York Post says she's furious at the idea that the executives would even entertain the possibility of having Nicki Minaj on the same dais as Mariah as a judge.
Well, she's younger. And she's personality plus, and she's very, very popular.
Much hipper.
And a diva doesn't really want to hang out with any kind of competition, right?
Brad Paisley, Keith Urban, Enrique Iglesias are also said to be in the running for the judge position. However, Mariah tweeted her choice yesterday. She sent Lenny Kravitz a tweet.
All right.
Lenny Kravitz.
Lenny tweeted back, "Girl, we've known each other since we were teenagers. How fun would that be?" So maybe she's throwing Lenny's hat into the ring, trying to cut him off at the pass.
I like him, but I don't know that he would get me to watch that show.
I don't think anything would get you to watch that show,
that's
Kevin.
True.
Frankly, at this point, I'm thinking anything would get me to watch that show.
Mm-hmm.
I would, if they had new judges, I would tune in just to see what
just
what
the judges part.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I probably wouldn't
get
last
hooked.
For long.
You'd get hooked.
That's very possible. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kristen Wiig, my buddy from the days of Joe Schmo. She went on to the career we all thought she would. She was the funniest person on that set. 39 years old today. Ty Burrell from Modern Family is 45 years old. James DeBarge of DeBarge is 49, as is singer-songwriter legend Tori Amos. I love her. She's 49 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Phone lines are open right now for something we do from time to time here on The Kevin and Bean Show called the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey. We can't tell you what you're calling about, but we are going to need your opinion on something right now at 1-800-520-1067. In this case, if you want to be part of the jury in a case that we are going to be discussing, if you want to help decide what should happen, call now 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you in about 60 seconds. By the way, Boss Rutan is here. Did you meet him, Kevin? You go to the museum?
No.
Apparently, he could crush you by just looking at you.
Oh, agreed.
Apparently, he's been retired. I mean, he was at one time considered the greatest martial arts champion in history, right?
Right.
Would you, I mean, wouldn't you let yourself go after that? I would. I would be like, once I didn't have to compete, once sure. I didn't have to fight anymore, I would be like, that's it, I'm out.
I'd be fat and out of shape.
Yes, apparently he is not, and apparently he could kill you just with a handshake. Hmm. So, Boss Rutan, and we'll tell you how you can meet him this Saturday at a special event at his gym, and we'll also tell you about the movie that he's involved in that's opening up here soon. That's coming up here in just a couple of minutes on The Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. All right, you ready for the story?
Ready for the story.
Need your help, guys. Anthony Ortolani, 29 years old, is the man in question in this story. He was doing a little bit of mountain hiking out there in Colorado. He and a young companion, it does not say of which sex or how old, and Anthony's German Shepherd, Missy, decided to do some mountain climbing. And I guess this is common with a lot of climbers where they take their dog with them, right?
Sure.
Missy is a 100-pound German Shepherd, and everybody got into trouble up there at the top of this mountain. This mountain, by the way, this is no hill. This is 14,000 65 feet mountain that they're on the top of.
Why?
Wow.
Why was he taking his dog again?
I would not take my dog.
I wouldn't either. People like to hike with their dog, I guess, and maybe
that's
he thought
not
his,
a hike.
His, yeah, that's serious mountain climbing.
Yeah.
I mean, that has to be one of the largest mountains in North America, 14,000 feet, right? So anyway, so he's up there. A huge storm moves in. It doesn't give specifics here, but somehow his companion is injured, as is Missy. The dog weighs 100 pounds. They can't carry Missy to get Missy down the mountain, so they leave the dog behind.
I think that's the rule. You have to.
Yeah. I mean, because if you're in a situation where if you wait for help or for the storm to pass or something like that, none of you may come down. You may all end up freezing to death at the top of that mountain, right?
Yes.
So he has had this dog for a number of years, and he loves this dog, and he wanted to take this dog with him, but he just didn't have any way, and he described it as being a heartbreaking thing where he had to leave this dog behind because the dog couldn't walk, the dog was hurt, clearly the storm was getting worse, he had to get out while he could, and the dog was going to die, sadly. So he leaves. 8 days later, Scott Washburn, hiker number two, and his wife are hiking at the top of the same mountain. And they find Missy. And the dog is still alive 8 days later.
Really?
And the dog is still hurt. And the dog still is too heavy to be carried down.
Oh, Missy.
So Scott does have a little bit of first aid on him. And he does bandage up the dog's paws that are pretty badly cut up at this point. And gives the dog some water. And says, stay right here, boy. And goes back down the mountain and organizes a search party to go up the next morning to look for the dog. And they find the dog, and they have eight people, and they each carry the dog for a few minutes at a time, and they get the dog down the mountain. And now the guy's got the dog.
That is an awesome story.
So Missy is alive and well. Well, when he writes about this on a hiker website in Colorado, the original owner, Scott Ortolani, sees that Missy has been miraculously saved and says, hey, that's my dog. I want my dog back.
Oh.
Really?
Yes, really. Scott Washburn says, you abandoned your dog at the top of the mountain. I'm the one who organized a rescue party and went up and brought your dog down. I'm keeping the dog, and the dog's name is Lucky, by the way.
Sure.
Dog, by the way, is still fine, is, you know, been rehabilitated in the vet, you know, was on IVs and everything, got treated for her cuts, and apparently she's doing fine. So now it is in court. Now there is a legal battle brewing because the original owner of the dog says, look, my dog... The new owner is saying, you abandon your dog, now my dog. Neither one of them wants to budge. It's going to court to decide who gets the dog. And that's the question in the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey today. 1-800.
It's time for Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
Too soon?
Oh, fancy. Didn't know we had that. 1-800-520-1067 is the number, although I think we already have our people on hold. So if you're on the jury here, who gets the dog? The guy whose dog it is and has been for years, who abandoned it in good faith because he felt sure that the dog was near death and he didn't want to risk other people going up the mountain in a terrible storm to get the dog, or the person who took that extra step, organized a search party, went back up, rescued the dog, and that's the reason the dog's alive today. What do you do? All right. Who do we got?
We have Al is first. Hi, Al.
Hi. What's up, guys?
Who gets the dog, man?
I think the guy that saved the dog should get the dog, but I also think that he should give it to the owner, the original owner.
That's a complicated verdict.
Seriously? I think the court should say, hey, you know, you saved the dog. Go ahead and, you know, keep it. But then I think deep down he should give it back to the original owner.
But if that was going to happen, he would not be in court.
Yeah, that's true.
You would not be in court.
So if you're on the jury, though, you rule for the guy who rescued the dog rather than the guy who owns the dog and abandoned him, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, it must have taken a lot of money and effort to get the dog down.
So. Agreed.
Okay. All right. That's one for the new guy. Thank you very much for the call. Let's move along to line two. This is going to be Adam. We're going to take five calls, and that's going to be our verdict. Adam, welcome to the show. What say you?
Hey, what's up? I think the guy that left the dog should get the dog back as long as he was a good owner before him.
But he didn't even go back to check on the dog. He could have done that.
He could have, but I mean, he was doing it to save like his life and whatever in a storm. I mean, if the dog is hurt and you don't want to die on top of a mountain with your friend or whatever.
I get that, but why not go back after the storm?
He was convinced the dog was dead, Lisa. Well, he thought the dog is hurt, and it's a terrible storm that's only getting worse, and there's no way this dog lives up here in the snow.
All right, so we have one of each.
All right.
We have one of each.
All right. Mike is on line three. Mike, thanks for calling. You be the jury.
Are you kidding me? The guy who found the dog, the second hiker, should keep the dog.
Yeah, because he went back up with the rescue team and brought the dog down.
Exactly. I have a German Shepherd of my own, and I saw this story on the internet.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe it. It broke my heart.
Yeah.
The rescuer should keep the dog. That's his dog.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much for the call. 2-1 for the rescuer. Let's try Tim. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a pretty close vote so far. What do you think?
I'm actually going to have to go with the guy who originally owned the dog.
Oh, look at that.
Okay, how come?
Just because he was the one who raised it and has lived with it his whole life. And yes, his life was in danger, and you aren't just going to, you know, you're not going to give up your life for the dog.
What about Lisa's point that a perfect stranger was willing to go the extra step to organize a search party to go back up to get the dog, but the owner wasn't? Doesn't that say something about the quality of each of those men?
It says that the other guy was a really good guy, but if he was that good of a guy, he would understand the emotional attachment to the dog, maybe.
If it was your dog, you wouldn't go back and check?
Probably not after a week in a terrible storm.
Yeah, I think if it's a terrible storm and it's at the top of the mountain.
The storm didn't rage for a week.
How do you know, Lisa?
All right, we have one each. Thank you, Tim. We're 2-2 right now. Lori apparently is going to be the deciding vote. And by the way, let me just add this to the story. This doesn't really have anything to do with the verdict, but I think this is interesting. This is just news as of late yesterday. The original owner of the dog has now been charged by the Clear Creek Sheriff's Office with cruelty to animals for abandoning his dog.
What?
Which
he shouldn't have taken it up.
He shouldn't have taken it up. I agree.
That's piling on, though, at this point, isn't it?
I guess, yeah.
I think.
Guy with no dog, we're also going to fine you.
It's 2-2, Lori. You get to be the deciding factor on what happens. Who gets to own the little German Shepherd?
The second guy.
Yes! The rescuer.
Let me say something about the first guy. If he was going to abandon it, he should have made sure it was at least euthanized before he left.
Interesting. Right?
So, Lori, if it were you, you shoot your dog in the head before you abandon it. That's the takeaway, right?
And then he wouldn't be facing the animal cruelty charges. The dog would already be dead.
All right. Well, congratulations to the new owner, then, of Lucky, apparently. And thanks for playing the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Kevin, are you a three-time King of Pancrase world champion and UFC heavyweight champion? Is that you?
Let me think. No, I don't think so.
Well, it's not me. Lisa, you?
No.
Beer mug?
Definitely not.
Boss Rutten? Boss Rutten,
yep,
is that you?
Ding, 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 ding.
got the right guy.
Yeah.
I thought somebody was. Boss, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Great, great, great. We were just talking about it, how long ago it was. Like 7 years when I was here
ridiculous.
The last time. That's crazy, right?
Time that's flies. Insane.
Yep.
Well, you have to start coming back more often because we always love catching up with you. And you are a guy who has so much going on. First of all, you're keeping Kevin James employed. How is that possible?
Oh,
how is that your job?
You know, yeah, well, actually, it's the other way around, I guess.
He's keeping you employed?
Yeah. He's a really good friend. You know, he always puts me in these little things. We did some projects, some comedy projects with Sony, some webisodes, a whole series. And then now we did the last big one is Here Comes the Boom, which will come out in October.
Yeah, we want to talk about that. You were, of course, in Paul Blart Mall Cop, right? And you were one of the voices in the Zookeeper movie. So, like you said, you guys have loved to work together. But what's Here Comes the Boom? What's this all about?
It's an inspirational comedy, is what they call it. And, you know, it's in there's a music program which is played by Henry Winkler. He has a music program in a school. It gets scrapped. They need money, like $45,000, to revive the program. And then Scott Voss, which is Kevin James, he finds out that you with mixed martial arts, you can make money, even when you lose. And then he gets in contact with me, finds out I used to be a trainer, and then the adventure starts.
Now, Kevin James is not in shape as a fighter, A.
Huh.
And B, doesn't strike me as an MMA guy, although I've seen him at a lot of fights. He seems to be a big fan.
People will freak out. I've been with Kevin for a long time. I've been saying this for a long time. When you see him doing the folks, there were scenes that we had to let the professional fighters do things different because he just looks better. He has his
what?
Hand speed. Oh, no, you're going to be amazed. Whatever you see, he's 218 pounds for this movie. He lost a lot of weight,
wow.
And he is fat. He's like a bear, I always say. You tell him something, right away he does it. He's got enormous power and speed. And you know what you're going to see is what you get. You know, it's not like they're going to speed it up. You'll be amazed.
He's not going to go into fighting for real, is he?
No, no, no.
Because I'm not sure I can get my head around that world.
That's when the acting career goes down. You know,
I
then
see.
That's where you end up in celebrity rehab, and then you do those kind of things.
Here Comes the Boom is the movie. It opens up on October 12th. And it's interesting because he's a big fight fan, as Kevin mentioned, and now you've got him fighting in this movie. I imagine you see this all the time running your gym, right, where people watch it on TV and they go, huh. I could do that, and then they show up. And for most people, it just has to be a rude awakening how difficult MMA really is, right?
It really is. You know how I know? Because we have like 30 sign-ups a month, and you lose about 25 of them the next month.
Really?
Yeah, it goes really like that. And stuff guys coming in thinking they can do something, and then they roll with somebody who doesn't look scared at all, and they just tear them apart. And he goes, that's a white belt? You know, I just lost to a white belt. And then
exactly,
they look, the road in front of them, and they can't handle it. They leave.
What, is it just because they're not really dedicated? They thought they would pick it up and be great right away?
It's probably France who've been saying, dude, you'll be good at this, man. You've been in a couple of scraps on the street. You know, you're a fighter.
I saw you punch a guy one time.
And everybody, you know, they see something on TV. Like you said, I can do that too. Why doesn't he do this? I had this fighter coming in. He was 38 years old. Actually, he's fighting right now. And he said, you can need a tie, right? I say, yeah. Why don't they do it? I say, just wait till you had your first fight. And then every week he would come back. You can do this. You can do this. I say, yes, you can. Why don't they do it? I said, just wait. And then he had his first fight.
Yeah.
And then after the fight, he knocked him out, though. But I go, where were the knees to the thighs? And where were this? And where was that? And he looked at me, yeah. It's like chaos.
Yeah.
Like the first time when you fight, the bell goes, it's like total chaos. You have no clue. People are watching, screaming. You know, you can't focus yet. You have
can
to get used to it.
Can you hear your corner?
That was always my biggest thing. I focus in on my corner, mm-hmm. and his corner. You know,
so you can hear his corner giving him advice on what to do to you.
That's it.
And then you can play defense against that?
That's how I won my first UFC fight. Mario Smith was in the corner, and he trained him. And at the end, I wanted to give him a high kick. And Mario's go, watch out for the high kick. And right away, I switch it into a right straight. And that's where I start knocking him out.
No
and afterwards,
kidding.
I told Maurice, say, you should hold him out. You should shut up. And he goes, you're the only fighter who listens to the other corner.
That's awesome. Now, most of the people that walk through the doors of your gym, are they there because they think it's going to be good exercise? Or are they there to be prepared for self-defense? Or do they come in because they think, hey, I'd like to start on the long road to being in the UFC?
I think it's a combination of all of that. And some of the guys that stay and think, you know what, it's a little harder than I think it is, they stay there because they got the bug. You know, there's one of those things that once you start rolling on the ground, just talking to a guy here in the back, and he says, I'm thinking about picking up jiu-jitsu. I said, you know, if you 2 weeks, you're going to be sold. You're going to keep on doing it because there's every day. Still, when I would roll, every time you roll, there's something new. I go, oh, my God, I got to use this more. You know, that, and that's so cool. So many ways to go to a certain submission. And some people get that bug and they keep training. And, you know, you use your whole body.
So you never learn at all. There's always more to learn
there's
no
always
matter
more
what
to
level
learn.
You're at.
The thing, the tricks we always have to learn is, like, everybody knows an armbar, you know, let's say. But and everybody knows the same ways. There are, like, three ways to go to that armbar. Now, if you can create a different way, a different setup that people don't see it, so it's undetected,
then that
you
know, guy doesn't
then
see
you
it
can pull it off. That's yeah. it. And that's the trick right now. You know, all these new combinations coming up and all these tricks for the setups.
Hmm. We have so many more questions. We have to take a break. Boss Rutan is in studio with us. By the way, you can meet Boss at the at your place at the Elite MMA Gym in Westlake Village, and that's going to be this Saturday from 12 to 5. You're doing something very special, the Summer Celebration. What's this about, Boss?
You know, we're celebrating our gym. We want to show the people that our gym is there. I think a lot of people don't know. It's underneath the rock climbing place there, Boulder Dash. You know, you almost can't find it, but once you found
good,
it,
good location.
You go in there. Very good.
It's 880 Hampshire Road, Suite X.
Yep.
Westlake Village. That's yep. where it is. All
that's
right. And you're going to be there from 12 to 5, and you're going to have a bunch of different people. You got fighters there.
Okay, fighters are going to come.
Michael Bisping's going to be there?
Yeah. Mark Munoz, Christoph Szczesny. Hopefully, we can get Ronda Rousey coming. You know, so, yeah, let's hope. And we got John Huertas from Castle, you know, who plays Esposito.
Right.
So, yeah, we got a bunch of people coming. It's going to be a fun day.
Sounds like fun. That's this Saturday from noon till 5 at Westlake Village. We'll take a break. More with Boss Rutan after this on the World Famous K-Rock.
Boss Rutan is in the studio with us.
Yeah.
And by the way, who's more entertaining than Boss off the air when he stops by?
Nobody.
The stories he tells. Boss is here for a couple of reasons. Of course, we talked about the new film coming out October 12th with his friend Kevin James called Here Comes the Boom. Sounds like fun. Plus, he's got a special summer celebration event at his place in Westlake Village, and that's going to be this Saturday from noon till 5. If you're a Boss Rutan or MMA fan, you want to swing on by for that. That's pretty cool. You still obviously follow the sport, still watch all the fights. Do you see much difference in the fighting game now compared to back when you were active?
Yeah. Now actually you start people also knowing both. You know, mixed martial arts now is a sport of its own. You know, in the beginning it was still this guy, oh, he's a jiu-jitsu guy, and now he does this. Now you got guys who are just mixed martial artists.
They just learn all of them.
That's it, right away from the get-go.
When you started, everybody had a specialty, and then they just kind of tried to fill in the other
That's
stuff?
That's it. You know, and that was with me, was striking. But after knocking two people out, you know, they know. And then at that moment, you're not going to be on your feet anymore. So then I lost my third fight.
Because you got taken down.
I got taken down and put a toe hold on me. I didn't even know what it was. And I know it's painful.
I'm not sure what's happening, but that hurts.
That was one of the few times in the ring that I actually felt pain.
Wow.
You know, yeah, I almost ripped my whole ankle off, you know. Oh. I couldn't put shoes on anymore. Oh, very painful.
Wow. Wrestling is the most important part of the fighting these days, right? I would think.
I would say, you know, we were just talking about it. It's the sport that you need to. If you're a really good striker, you need great wrestling to keep it on the feet. And if you're a really good ground guy, you need great wrestling to take it to the ground, I always say.
Mm-hmm. Do they use you much as a, you know, champion emeritus or anything like that? Are you involved at all in any official capacity with the UFC anymore?
No. I always have had a great relationship with Dana, though. You know, but I always, you know, I'm so busy. I can do other things, and you know, I think they have a great team. So
you're still doing Inside MMA show,
Inside MMA on Access TV. Now we changed to Access TV, and
Access TV used to be HDNet.
Yep,
and now it's on there Mondays at 5 o'clock.
Yep, live show. It's a great show. We got a really great a lot of viewers, and you should check it out because it's a fun show.
Yeah, it is a fun show. And tell me what you think about some of these newer fighters. Tell me what you think about John Jones, because the rap on him for so long has been he's too young, he hasn't had enough experience, he hasn't had enough training, not enough time in the ring, and then every single time he proves those people wrong.
It's the guy's a
pretty
nature. Yeah, that's he really is. You know, when I met him, we were talking about the IFL, that was the last time I was. That's where I met him the first time. That's all the way back in 2005.
The International Fight League.
Yep. And he was helping me with a demonstration. I had to do something for camera, and nobody knew him at the time. You know, and suddenly he started fighting. He just has it down to stay calm, to stay relaxed, and to be creative. creative. Come with different things. Like I said, with the armbar, find a different way to go to an armbar. And he, you know, I punch a little different. Who doesn't spinning elbow from the clinch? You know, he kind of was the first guy who did that.
Right.
You know, and when she started doing that crazy stuff that nobody simply doesn't know yet.
He started jumping over people. I was like, what's happening right now?
12 feet vertical leap.
I've never seen this before. What's going on? How long do you think he'll be able to hang on? Because he's still young.
Yep.
And is beating people quite handily for the most part.
And champions, like ex-champions, all of them.
Yes.
So it's like...
he fights only the best people.
The top guys, yeah. You know, if he keeps... Stay focused. I think he just had a Nike deal also.
He just got a Nike deal for the first time for an MMA fighter.
So if he stays focused, he can do great, great things. I think
10
he will
years?
Be... You know, I...
it's hard to say.
It's so hard to say with injuries, you know, but he seems the guy who can stay away from it. He's a great wrestler. He knows exactly... You know, now the trick with wrestling is to not wear shoes in training, I always tell people, because that's how you blow your knees. You know, you have too much traction, you plant your foot, then you get somebody about the waist, you twist your upper body, but your foot stays in one position, and that's when your knee blows out. You know, I always say, take those shoes off. With striking, I say, take the shoes on. You don't want to break your toes, you know, but not with wrestling.
But he seems to not get hurt. He seems to not ever take punishment.
Yeah. Trust me, in training, they do. He will. But he's got these long legs, long arms, and he keeps everybody away. I mean, his arms are like, I think he's got maybe 8-inch reach advantage over me, or maybe 9-inch. It's crazy.
Wow. Boss, did you, I'm sure it was tough for you to retire, and you did have kind of a late comeback fight, but was it when you finally decided I'm done? Has it been a struggle for you to be an ex-champion, an ex-athlete? I know you stay active in the sport, but some people really have a difficult time making the adjustment back to being a civilian.
I've been busy with a lot of things, you know, with the International Fight League at the time, and now I got Punk Payback, the show Inside MMA. It's a weekly show.
Oh,
I'm not saying you're not
busy. No, but do you miss being able to fight like that?
Yeah, no. I'm just saying if I wouldn't have had that yet, and I had it more, but I do a lot. And when I see people rolling on the floor, I would really love to do that. And I simply can't do it anymore because it's my knees. I have no cartilage on my kneecaps. And then, you know, it's pain for like 5 days. It's very hard to walk stairs and going down, you know, so the fun is gone. Once the fun is gone, I had neck surgery. I can do 10 repetitions with 10 pounds with my right arm. It's ridiculous. Biceps. You know, so, and then with my left, I can do like 30 with 50 pounds. It's like the difference is bizarre.
So you just took too much punishment.
Too much punishment.
How many fights did you have total?
With Thai boxing included, 50.
50 fights. Wow.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah.
That'll leave a mark.
That's enough.
And it's the training. I used to be a kind of crazy guy with training. Mm-hmm. We just go. And we tried to take care of the head a little bit, but for the rest, we just tried to knock each other out to the body and to the legs.
So you took more damage in training than you did in fights?
I never, what they say, if you make your training really hard, to fight is easy. Well, we actually did that. I hear people now, they say, and this was from a champion, we're going to mention his name, and he said, we spar on Friday. And I go, excuse me? And he says, we spar on Friday. What do you mean? Well, yeah, we go 80%. What do you do the other days? Oh, we just train. I say, you spar one time a day. And I start laughing. He goes, what do you do? I say, we spar two times a day.
Four. Two times a day.
Two times after you do your workout. And then after you work out, you do like 7-6 minute rounds of sparring. You know, get shoes. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Might as well do it.
Well, certainly worked.
How, before we let you go, boss, because we're almost out of time here, how much more acting would you like to do? Is this something that you're serious about? Would you like to end up being a Terry Crews or one of those guys who makes it a legitimate career?
That's why I came to America. I was in America within a week. I was at the Beverly Hills Playhouse taking acting classes. And in Holland, I used to do comedy already, you know, for martial arts comedy shows that we did. And we actually started traveling with that. It was really fun for TV also, European TV we even got up. So I just like to entertain, you know, and I'm having a great time now with doing the show. And the acting is, I did a lot of stuff with Kevin also backstage. I shot this short movie here, Kingdom of Ultimate Power, and that's what actually nailed me this job for the Sony picture, you know, because they say, is Kevin's friend. I say, oh, well, you know, you still have to pull it off. You got to make it up because otherwise he's going to look bad.
Right.
You know, so I really, and my acting coach also said, he says, boss, this is your shot. You know, this is a big part in a big movie, so let's work on this. And we just start preparing, you know, when we went in for the rehearsals, I memorized the script. I had everything already, so I felt confident going in.
You're going to be the only guy who's ever been the King of the Pancrase World Champion and an Academy Award winner. That's going to be amazing.
Well,
when you got both of those in
your
shelf, right?
I don't know about that. Maybe with some intimidation.
We have to say goodbye to Mr. Rutan. The movie Here Comes the Boom opens up on October the 12th. And again, the event is this Saturday. It's the summer celebration. It's at Westlake Village at your place there. And this is open for anybody who wants to come on down, right?
Anybody who wants to come out, elitemmagym.com. You want to go there and then you can see all the people out there. We got Carlo Deckers, the brother from Ramon Deckers, the best Thai boxer on the planet ever. Is the first foreigner who got the title of the Thai Boxer of the Year award in Thailand. You know, the first time wow. that they gave it to a foreigner. And his brother we got, who's a tremendous coach, and we got some really good guys there. Rodrigo Carvalho is like, he just won the world championships again in jiu-jitsu. The dude is crazy.
And wow. It used to be on HD Net, but you can watch Inside MMA on Axis TV now at 5 p.m. on Mondays.
That's it. Live show, fun guest, new studio, you know, the three-dimensional thing that we have. Virtual studio is what they call it.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Now, we're having a lot of fun, you know. Today with Kenny Rice, we got Ron Kroc there, roving reporter as always. It's just a blast show. We see new talent coming in mm-hmm. that I didn't know yet, and sometimes we invite old guys, you know, like right. me. And, and then I meet my old buddies again. So it's a great show.
There you go.
That's fine. Well, you're getting it done, boss. Thanks so much for the time, man. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Boss Rutan is gone, but the manliness continues. Mike Rowe joins us next
Mike
hour.
Mike Rowe. Yeah.
Host of Dirty Jobs is going to be here. Always love having Mike come by. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat right now on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Before I get to Showbiz News, I've got passes to give away to the K-Rock Advanced Screening of a movie called The Possession.
Yeah!
Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick star in this spooky film about a young girl who buys an antique box at a yard sale. She doesn't realize that the collectible contains an ancient spirit that possesses her. So the girl's father and his ex-wife, the girl's mom, have to try to find a way to end the curse that's on their child. The Possession, based on a true story, opens everywhere in theaters Friday, August the 31st. How would you like to be one of the first people to see it next Tuesday, August the 28th at the AMC Burbank? Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through. We'll get a pair of passes to watch The Possession. Lady Gaga is flipping people out because on her YouTube channel, she is posting some old videos, one of which has her flashing her cans.
This isn't like her to do something controversial, Ralph.
Flashing her tatas on her official YouTube channel, which, as Egotastic.com is quick to point out, would get a mere mortal canceled from YouTube. Your account would be removed. However, they don't assume that YouTube is going to drop Lady Gaga's huge...
Yeah.
Huge...
nudity not allowed.
At any time. No, not allowed on YouTube, but it's not going to bother her. So people are still saying it's not appropriate, and I don't think it's the right thing to do. But... no one really cares, and it's not a site that anyone really wants to see, so...
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to drive a lot of traffic to that site.
She's not exactly known for having great boobs.
Despite the fact that Beer Mug is distractingly trying to find it right now as we speak.
There's no end to the, hey, look at me from Lady Gaga, though, right?
I mean,
she can't go 7 days without some sort of controversy that draws people to her, right?
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah, it does.
It's the Madonna school of attention getting, and she does very well for herself. Shocking news from the world of comic books. It's official. DC Comics has announced that Superman and Wonder Woman will officially get it on this week. Yeah. Yeah. Superman and Wonder Woman banging it out. How do you like that? How do you like me now?
You understand none of us are reacting,
Superman
right?
and Wonder Woman are banging. You don't care? They're banging.
Wait, imaginary people
time.
Know each other?
It's about time they finally knocked it out. Got rid of that Lois Lane. She can't handle him. She can't handle the Super Wang.
Is this what's
only Wonder Woman can?
Is this what's been coming for a long time for comic book geeks?
This has been building for some time now.
Have they been flirty? Have I been missing the sexual tension between
these
two?
Well, they've rebooted all the characters over there on the DC Universe, so this comes as quite a shock for those people who are traditionally familiar with the Superman, Lois Lane, Wonder Woman, Steve Trevor romances. This is a super romance.
Sure.
We'll finally get to see now whether Superman is indeed faster than a speeding bullet. So pick up your issue this week. And LL Cool J, he's cool.
The ladies love him.
The ladies love him. He managed to apprehend a burglar this morning who broke into his home. Burglar broke into his Studio City home this morning, 1 a.m. Called the cops. By the time the cops got there, he already had apprehended the suspect.
Nice.
Apparently, the gentleman suffered minor injuries. He's being charged with burglary. No additional details were immediately available, but I'm guessing LL Cool J effed him up.
Yeah. And I can't imagine.
It doesn't say here in the official report they don't use that phrase, but I'm guessing there was some F-upping going on.
The guy didn't know it was LL Cool J's house when he broke in.
No, that's a bad. You should really find out who you're breaking into.
Isn't he like the buffest guy in the world, and he's on NCIS, so he knows what he's doing?
He's a pretty big dude. And this guy made a poor choice. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Singer Tori Amos is 49 years old, as is keyboardist James DeBarge of the band DeBarge.
No one cares.
Oh, Kevin.
No one cares.
I only hope DeBarge music is playing in the background while Superman and Wonder Woman get it on. That would be the perfect story.
And I can miss all three.
How could they resist? It would be so sexy.
Ty Burrell of Modern Family is 45 years old today, and comedian and just a sweet, sweet person. Kristen Wiig celebrates her 39th birthday today. We give her much love. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 4 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Thanks to Jesse Ramirez from Covina for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here this morning. He is the latest winner of tickets to go see The Offspring and Neon Trees. They're playing at the Palladium October 5th. He's also eligible for the drawing we do Friday. And Jesse might be going to New York City to see the bands again. Destination number 7 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA. Hey, Mike Rowe is here, by the way.
How about that?
I think I'm going to buy a Ford from him while he's here. I understand he's cutting deals. So he'll be joining us talking about his new Dirty Jobs Down Under. First, though, it's a Kevin and Bean feature that we like to call How Does the Story End?
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
Oh, that's beautiful. The mellow, sensitive side of DJ Omar Khan.
That's right.
All right, as you know, Kevin, and I know you can't wait, the election for president is happening in November.
I can't wait for it to be over.
I think we're maybe 75 days out or something like that, and President Obama has adopted a unique strategy where he is not answering any tough questions for the remainder of the time he is campaigning.
What?
No longer wants to be held accountable for anything.
I thought you had to. I thought they had debates and all that.
No. Well, yeah, he's going to have debates, but in terms of interviews, in terms of the press corps and things like that, he's just not taking any questions. Instead, what the Obama campaign is doing is they are setting up lots of local interviews, which is how he ended up a few days ago on KOB-FM, which sounds like a wacky top 40 station in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay.
Now, this interview was done with their morning, the Morning Mayhem is the name of the show there. And I've heard the whole interview, and they only talked to him about his preferences in hot sauce.
Okay.
Where to get some decent soul food.
Mm-hmm.
What songs he likes to have on his iPod when he works out.
And why we can't be employed?
No, they didn't bring up anything like that.
Sorry.
No. And this question that came up, which is the subject of today's How Does the Story End? Did not anticipate you would have that there. Okay, so how does the story end?
How does the story end?
Here's the setup. Here's part one, and then you tell me what the president's response is. Again, the Morning Mayhem.
Now we're really proud. We've got some big movies that have been filmed here, like The Avengers.
Right.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
You know, this sounds kind of... It's kind of a weird superpower, but if I had something that I could immediately wish for, I would love to be able to...
How does the story end?
How does the story end?
Wow, you're right. He is taking the tough questions.
So it's an unusual superpower.
It sounds weird, so it couldn't be flying, couldn't be invisible. Invisible would be pretty cool.
And I think mind reading is that unusual enough?
Mind reading for
probably not.
For a president might be worth
it,
though.
Sure helpful.
Is it something we would guess, Bean, or is it something that's out there?
Well, yeah, that's a tough, I mean...
Probably not guess.
The superpower, yeah, I don't think you're going to guess. The superpower that the president mentions is one that I have often thought of would be the most useful thing in the world to be able to do. But it's not what most people would think of as a superpower.
Control all the fish in the sea?
I think Aquaman's already got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Move tanks with his mind?
Another good
control the ants?
That's Ant-Man. He's got that. I think it is something. Now, think in terms of...
It's not flying.
If you're the president of the United States, this is a superpower, if you want to call it that, skill that would come really, really tremendously in handy for your job.
Convince anybody of anything at any time?
Ooh, that's a good one, too. That's like pushing on your alpha show,
sort of.
Right?
Yeah, like pushing, yeah.
Like pushing.
Yeah.
It's not that.
That's not it either.
And it's not reading minds.
It's not me reading minds.
No, because that'd be helpful.
Beer Mug, you got a guess?
Oh, he's not here.
Oh, sorry.
What do you think?
I forgot.
It's outrageous!
The President of the United States has asked, what superpower would you like to have? Because that's going to help me decide who to vote for in November.
How does the story end?
All right, I need a final answer from each of you.
He has a superpower that would help him create as many jobs as no, because he doesn't want to talk about real stuff.
I don't know how you can do that. Make money out of thin air.
A dollar make me holler, honey boo boo?
Yeah, that's my guess.
Never have to pee. Never have to pee. Another excellent guess.
Oh, right. Never have to sleep.
Ooh, never have to sleep.
That's a great guess, that too. That's an awesome superpower, by the way. Imagine how much you could get done if you're up all the time.
I like that one.
I think I'm changing my mind and going with what Lisa said.
That superpower is called meth.
here's what the president's answer was.
I would love to be able to speak any language.
Oh.
Now, that's a weird superpower. I know that it might not come in handy, you know, to rescue folks from a burning building.
Right.
But, you know, I've always wished that, you know, whatever country I went to, wherever I've met somebody who spoke a different language, that I could right away speak their language. I'm a big believer in making connections with people. But
there you go. There's your answer from the President of the United States.
I like that because then you don't have the interpreter sort of screwing around with whatever is actually being said. Like, you really know the inflection and...
Huh.
It's not flying, though, I'll tell you that.
It's not
and it's
sleeping.
Not sleeping either.
Sleeping. Yeah.
I like ours better.
That is how it ends.
I like ours better than the president. We like Mike Rowe. We're happy to have him as a guest. He's always interesting, but he makes us sound like school children.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad.
What are
you talking about, Kevin? Speak for yourself,
children.
Kevin. I don't know what you're talking about.
Middle school.
You know, have me on Mike at 5 in the afternoon. And, you know,
need a little help.
You'll hear an alto. Hey, Bean, how are you, man?
Welcome back. Great to see you. You've been to Australia since the last time we talked to you.
Oy, yeah. Well, we did 300 of these dirty jobs, you know, in our country, and we got to all 50 states. And, you know, the people in charge all looked at each other and there
said,
was
what now?
Yeah. Long, awkward pause. And they're like, so, you know, are we done? I'm like, well, I don't know. It's a big world.
Do you get to that point where you've thrown out every possible idea? 300 is a lot of bad jobs.
You're asking me. You got to know how long you've been doing this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really, we settle
for crap.
Look, well, Mike literally settles for crap.
I crawl through it.
Though.
Our bottom line. That's true. You do.
I don't settle for it. I sell it.
So there are hundreds of countries in the world that you haven't filmed in yet. So this show could last forever.
You know what? You are just a glass half full kind of guy. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't know how to stop it. I don't know that I want to stop it. I love the show. It took me 2 years to get it on the air, and now it's a thing. You're right. It's a big world, but, you know, the theme of the show is actually pretty fundamental. It's about, you know, finding people in this country who do the kinds of work that, you know, keep us civilized.
Right.
You can still do that globally, but, you know, you go far enough afield and you run into all sorts of different, you know, cultural expectations. You run into different caste systems and pay grades. And so the mission changes. The poop is the same. It's feces from every species.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but the mission changes.
How many years has Dirty Jobs been on the air, Mike?
In 2001, it was called Somebody's Got to Do It up in San Francisco. And it was a 5-minute segment on Evening Magazine.
Okay.
By the time it got picked up, it was late in 2003, early 2004, and we've been steady at it ever since.
Wow. Yeah. And it's something you still, I mean, as bad as these jobs are, you sound like a guy who has the curiosity enough to still be eager to get in there and do it and learn about those people, right?
You know, I don't say curious because that sounds, you know, vaguely noble. It's more for me about an inability to do the same thing twice, and so it's the perfect gig. Because, I mean, even though it's Groundhog's Day in a sense, in a sewer, it's a different sewer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a some
still one, a sewer though.
Well, no, you could be on the top of a bridge painting it. You could be upside down in an opal mine in Cooper Pedy. You could be any number of places.
I've actually done that.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, good time.
So tell us about Australia. Is there a lot of different? Did you experience a lot of different things in here, or are they just the kind of the same things with a little twist?
I've been before, and I love it down there. A lot of crazy things about the country. There are only 23 million people, and the country is the size of the U.S. Right. right? So it's a wow. very, very different sort of feeling. It's the population
of New York.
And most
of it is uninhabitable just because of the terrain, or it's too dry, or what?
Yeah, their outback makes our desert kind of look like, you know, a Disneyland mm. type thing. It's endlessly vast. So what we did, there's a somewhat of a major city in the south called Adelaide, about as far south as you can go. We flew there, and then we drove north. So we drove to a little town called Cooper Pedy, where they mine for opals in the most hideously unimaginable way you can comprehend.
What do you mean hanging from the roof? Did you say that about the mining?
Hanging? No, yeah, well, the way you mine for opals is picture a manhole cover.
All right.
So that's about the diameter of the shaft you're going to dig. Mm-hmm. Now picture 90 feet straight down. So you dig 90 feet straight down with this cold well bit drill.
Right.
And then you look straight down this bottomless tube. And then you sit in a little tiny bosun's chair. And they lower you all the way to the bottom of the shaft.
All 90 feet.
As you're being lowered, you examine the walls around you looking for fissures and breaks. And if you find somewhere between sandstone and soapstone this twinkling little boogery reflection mm-hmm. of white, that's probably an opal. And now you're rich. So that's what they do. And it's a little town called Cooper Pedy.
How did you fit down there?
Not well. Although the guy that I
you're
was working
big
with...
guy.
I'm 6, 210, but the guy I was with was 6'2 and 230, and he gets down it. But still, your shoulders hit the sides, and the dirt falls on your head.
Oh, that's got to be freaky.
Dude, when you're standing on the bottom of an exploratory opal mine shaft and looking up, imagine yourself being 3 inches tall in the bottom of a Coke bottle and looking up at the... It's like the ring, right?
Yeah.
Or where the girl falls in the well. And she's
in the
like,
well, right.
That's
yeah.
all you can think of.
Wow.
And it's hot and claustrophobic and
Do
totally
Do they ever cool. cave in, Mike? Do the walls ever cave in? Have they ever had an accident like that? Because that would be
Many.
Instant death.
Mm. Yeah, but you know what's worse than the cave-ins out there? Because it's so vast and because there's nothing like, you know, MSHA or OSHA or any kind of regulatory body, these holes that are dug are never filled in. Now, next to them is, you know, a big pile of dirt. It looks like a groundhog ran amok. But
right.
the holes themselves, there are literally maybe 60,000 of them.
And they never refill them.
They never fill them in. So every year, some ding-dong goes out there taking pictures, looking through the viewfinder, backing up, and down he goes.
And your point about the ocean and whatnot is they would never allow that in the United States. You'd be required to cordon the whole area off and then fill it back in before you moved on, right?
Typically. But weirdly enough, you know, we did a dirty job up in, where were we, Northern California, maybe 4 years ago, about a guy who fills in old gold mine shafts. There was a lot of prospecting outside of Sacramento 140 mm-hmm. years ago.
Right.
And those holes now still exist in the old growth forests up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're totally filled in, but the bottoms of the holes, dead deer, dead bear.
Really?
Oh, wow.
People. You find hunters. I mean, it's like one of these, it's one of the nastiest untold California
Ooh.
Secrets. And this guy goes around filling them in with styrofoam. Crazy job.
That
styrofoam.
Is crazy.
Liquid
so,
foam, yeah.
Is this place as Adelaide in Australia, and this is the voice of Mike Rowe, like you couldn't tell, like you don't have the sudden urge to go out and buy a Ford just listening to the show here today. He's talking about Dirty Jobs Down Under, season premieres tonight at 10 on the Discovery Channel. Is this the place to get opals in the world? That's where they grow them?
No doubt. It is the opal capital of the world. It has been.
They grow opals? That's cool.
They grow them. Don't plant them too deep. They won't grow. But, no, it's, I mean, it's. When you see these shows about gold mining and all sorts of other prospecting, you know, you get a pretty good sense of it. I've never seen anything like this. The stones on these guys, just huge.
The stones on these guys, meaning the cojones.
Well, they get the
That's
stones.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. The precious gems on these guys.
Let me ask you to expand on one more of your Australia adventures, and then we'll take a break and come back with more. And that's these Aboriginals that you were able to work with who
yeah.
have lived off the land for 40,000 years, these people.
Somebody's got access to, what is it, the Wikipedia bean? What's happening?
yeah.
Comes right from Discovery.
I don't know how long they've been there, but longer than you and I have been here. After Cooper Pedy, we get our way up into Darwin and Cairns and ultimately to a place called Nhulunbuy, which you can't find on a map. And there, a tribal elder welcomed me into some sort of situation between a reservation and an outpost. And we spent a couple of days.
You spend a lot of time like trying to figure out what's happening and who's who and what?
Worse than that. I mean, yes, of course. From a TV standpoint, we have no production schedule. We don't know what we're doing because we don't know how the show is going to end. But now we can't. they speak English, but not the kind of English that you would look at and nod your head and go, oh, yeah, I know what you mean.
Right.
No, you don't know what they mean.
Okay.
So there's massive, massive confusion. And on any other show, that would be the end of production. On this, we just stepped back and said, okay, this is a show about people in the communications business who can't understand anything.
Uh-huh. Right.
And that's really what tonight's all about.
Why do they speak English? I envisioned that they would be cut off from the rest of the world, no?
Massively complicated situation with the Aboriginals and the Australians. Not too different from what was going on here, you know, in the late 19th century with Native Americans. You had lots of tribes over right. there, their clans. But the difference is there's this giant assimilation issue going on today. The Aboriginals actually are among the largest landowners in the world.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, they own the ocean. I mean, technically, they own part of the ocean around the continent.
Wow.
Okay. But, you know, they're making it all work and making it both modern and respectful to their old ways is just a really what they would call a sticky wicket.
Sure.
And they're still trying to figure out how to do it. So somehow or other, we got permission to go into the middle of it, and we're spearing swordfish and sharks, and we're eating turtle eggs and doing all the stuff Discovery would never let you do unless you were right there
right.
With the native people sure. trying to survive.
Wow. So you went hunting with them. That was the job you took on with the Aboriginals.
Yeah.
You went hunting.
And they hunt everything, and they'll eat whatever they get.
And old school hunting, right?
Harpoons.
I mean, yeah, harpoons.
Harpoons.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Wow. Yeah.
You must have quite the photo collection.
I have photos. I have some alarming journal entries. You know, I try and write a little every night, and it's funny looking back through them over the last 8 years. I know it happened because I recognize my handwriting, but for the life of me, I have no recollection.
Can't remember it.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we have many more questions about dirty jobs down under. Again, the Aboriginals that we talked about, you'll see them tonight on the episode that airs tonight at 10 on the Discovery Channel. It is the season premiere. Mike Rowe is our guest. We'll be back with more right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mike Rowe in studio with us again here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always a pleasure to welcome Mr. Rowe to town. He, of course, is the host of Dirty Jobs, now Dirty Jobs Down Under, season premiere tonight at 10 on Discovery. By the way, they're doing some sort of a marathon today, Mike. It looks like they've got about 8 episodes or so racked up.
Goodness.
And right now you are on my TV and you are learning how to make cranberries. You're on a cranberry farm.
A kinder, gentler, dirty yeah. job, actually. Not too far from where you are. I think we were up in Oregon when we did that.
Yeah, you got that. And this same episode, you learned how to make bricks, too. So you really have done it all.
Old Carolina Brick Company. Never
let's
forget.
Let's go back to Australia for a second. You were starting to tell us during the song, and we cut you off because we wanted to hear about it on the air, about the crazy animals that you encountered in Australia in the course of Dirty Jobs Down Under.
Everything's poisonous. Everything's sharp. Everything would like to kill you.
God. You know, it's amazing there are any people left. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, the first guy we met was a guy named Ian Renton, who has a company called Snake Away, and he's outside of Adelaide, actually. And they've got real issues in Australia now with non-Indigenous and Indigenous species kind of slugging it out in a way that man and God didn't intend.
It's an animal civil war?
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
And I'll get to that in a second because cane toads factor into this whole
okay.
thing. But the first thing we did, we got there, and within a half hour, I'm in a garage of a guy's home. And his name is Ian, and he wants to teach me how to catch brown snakes, which are the second most venomous snake in Australia. A bite from a baby brown will kill you in 14 minutes.
Why does he want to catch them?
Because Australia, and Adelaide in particular, is overrun with the things. Mm. And they're in people's pool filters. They're in people's pantries.
Wow. People must die all the time from that.
Full-grown browns. You know, it's like the size of your forearm.
Is there no anecdote? Because I know that there are some snakes.
I hope you mean antidote.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yes,
I'm not going to correct
you. I'm sure Mike's got a lot of anecdotes.
He's got a story about it is what I was asking. No, because I know that there are some in Africa that are so deadly that they kill you so fast it's not worth them coming up with an anecdote to give you.
It's really best just to call your loved ones and your priest.
Just say goodbye.
Yeah, it's goodbye.
Seriously, are they the kind of animal that wants to bite you? And a lot of people do die, or they only strike if they're afraid or feel like they're being attacked.
They strike when you step on them, reach under a rock, reach into your pool filter, reach into your pantry. You know, I mean, the problem isn't the fact that they're deadly. The problem is they're in your house.
Wow, in your house.
They get in your house.
No.
I mean, it's because it's hot. It gets hot in Adelaide. These things, like rattlesnakes, look for cool, dry places. Anyhow, there's a newspaper article hanging on Ian's wall. Snake kills father of eight. Right. And so that kind of sets the tone.
Sure.
And then something very weird happened. And we this almost never happens to us because we shoot everything. Everybody's a cameraman on the show. Right. Well, Ian goes in the back and we hear screaming and a crash. And we run back and he was feeding. He has a pet python. Of course he does. Right.
Yeah, of course.
He's had it for 14 years. This thing bit him in the wrist.
When you were filming?
When we were filming. But we weren't there to see it.
Right. You just heard it.
Well, yeah. And then we followed the blood trail. So before the show even starts, Ian is wrapping his wrist. He loses about a pint of blood.
And this has never happened before with him.
Never to him. No.
It's you.
And then he... Exactly. Exactly. Like, you see me coming, man. Run for your life. So this is right before he gives me a lesson on how to wrangle these brown snakes. And then we spend the rest of the day going... We go to a guy's house and we find three babies in a pool filter.
Right.
And then we go to another woman's house and in her pantry we find the mother of all brown snakes. Snakes.
Do you use a tool of some kind? Or
yes.
You don't use your hand?
Yeah. Well, no. When you pick them up, you have to use your hand. You have to get your thumb and forefinger behind their jaw.
Right, so they can't bite you.
And then you throw them in a pillowcase. But the moment where you reach down to grab the thing behind its head, very sporty.
I mean, say the least.
And by sporty, you mean you could die any second.
I mean, yeah, but, you know, boxers will tell you about moments in the ring where things become compressed and, like, in slow motion.
Right.
And it feels that way. Like, you're reaching as fast as you can, but you're watching your arm move and just... It's not fast enough. You know, you're like, gosh, I wish I were faster.
Did you ever say to the guy, hey, guy with the towel around your wrist, you're not showing me how to get snakes?
Yes. We had a number of fascinating exchanges.
He's about to die, and he's going to...
The most fascinating exchange, and this is going to make you pull your hair out.
Okay.
And this kind of goes to the particular dysfunction that is right now alive and well in the Australian animal kingdom vis-a-vis Homo sapien. You have to release the poisonous brown snake within a couple of kilometers of where you catch it.
Oh, no kidding.
Because, you can't kill it?
Because they're endangered.
How are they endangered if they're everywhere?
Exactly. They're everywhere, but they're endangered.
They're protected by the government.
Correct.
So you can catch them in your pantry, and then you have to turn them loose?
Kevin, I caught...
In your front yard.
I caught four, and we took them to, I swear to God, a river, and about 200 yards downstream was a tire swing. And he said, no, this is where we let him go. Like, you let him go in the river where the kids swing on a tire swing?
Swing?
He goes, yeah, that's what we got to do.
Oh, my God.
They won't protect you climbing down into opal mines.
No, but, you know, good luck on the tire swing, kid. It's every man for himself.
That's
unbelievable. Now, Mike, let me ask you in all seriousness. I know that you're a guy who wants to get the shot, and you're proud of your TV show, and you enjoy it, and blah, blah, blah. But when you're asked to catch one of these snakes with your bare hand that you know could kill you, literally could kill you, it could be your last day on Earth, is there ever any hesitation from you where you go, maybe this one's just too dirty a job for me to do?
There's always hesitation. Always. Look,
what makes you pull through?
I have one job, being obvious. I have one job, and that is to try. We've managed expectations pretty well on the show vis-a-vis, you know, oh, no, Mike's good at this or Mike's bad at this. No, Mike's not good at anything. Mike will try.
He'll try. But there's sometimes you try things, and if you fail, you are dead.
That's correct.
That's very different than trying something in feces from every species.
That's true, too.
As you put it.
Look, there is a huge benefit for doing it properly.
And that's called living.
That's called living.
Understatement much? All right, before we run out of time, you mentioned briefly the cane toads. Why is this fun for Mike Rowe?
Well, because in a sense, this is why the brown snakes are connected. Cane toads are a plague in Australia. They're truly a measure.
What is a cane toad? I'm sorry to...
Well, it's a matter of national security on the one hand. What you're saying, it's a toad that lives in Hawaii, and they eat... bugs in sugarcane.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a natural predator to the beetle that eats sugarcane.
Okay.
So the cane growing consortium in Australia back in the 30s was being decimated by the cane beetle. So in their infinite wisdom, and this is, you know, people will never learn, but we brought in 106 cane toads from Hawaii.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah, now there are a billion of them. And here's the thing.
Did you say...
I'm sorry. Did you say billion with a B?
Yeah, billion. Okay. Here's the thing. The cane toads, turns out they really don't eat the cane beetle, so strike one.
Really?
Yeah. They actually don't do anything. They sit there and they copulate. Okay?
That's it.
And there's one other small
what
thing.
What a great life.
There's one other small fascinating thing. They're deadly poisonous.
Somebody had some misinformation.
They don't bite, Bean. They won't bite
They're
you.
Deadly poison.
So if a dog but comes up and smells it or licks it,
if
or something?
A dog licks it or eats it, you got a dead dog.
Wow.
So
oh my
now,
God.
But at least there's only a billion of them.
Well, what and do they eat?
They eat. Not, they. I know. I don't know what the hell they do. Honestly, they like giant hunks of snot. They just quiver in the grass.
Oh, gross.
You step on them. You kick them. Australians are so angry at these cane toads right now, and their endless cane toad abatement programs, some more humane than others. We just wanted to get a sense of how the people were dealing with this thing up in the northern part of the country.
And how'd they deal with it?
Well, I mean,
C4?
They've got literally, like, at night, the town will rally together. Kids will come out and they will hunt these things.
Come on, everybody, we're going hunting.
And you will pick up hundreds and hundreds of them. And then you take them back and you hit them with a little nitrous. And then you freeze them. And then you turn them into mulch and sell them as fertilizer. But brown snakes eat them. You know, all these snakes eat them.
Brown snakes?
But it's not dangerous to brown snakes?
No, it kills them. That's why they're protected.
Oh,
see
God.
How it all comes full circle?
This is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
Australia's honked up.
So the brown snakes are protected because they're eating
things,
the frogs that kill them.
That kill them. That were brought there under false pretenses to do a thing they weren't capable of doing.
Wow.
Yeah. Government.
I don't know.
Government.
Government. That says it all.
Government,
that says
huh?
It all.
Huh? How about that government?
We'll fix it.
So is this the first time you've ever been a toad buster since you've been doing dirty jobs?
Yes. Toad busting is just it's one little town up there takes toad busting seriously, and they kind of make a festival out of it. And when I heard about that, it's like, look, I don't want to do a story about, you know, big, giant organizations rallying together. I want to find the little guy in the little town who's trying to make his little slice of heaven a little better.
Unbelievable.
Right? So.
All right. So is the whole season of Dirty Jobs is going to be all down under? The whole season is going to be Australian jobs, right?
Yes, but I should mitigate that by saying the whole season in this case is four episodes. So
okay,
the entire month is Dirty Down Under.
All right.
But I like the way you make it sound. The whole season.
Do you have another country already picked
out, I like
that
you went all the way to Australia and did four shows.
I know.
You came back and Discovery said, huh? Where are the rest?
They like it. Look, we're going to wait and see how they do. I don't know if there's an appetite for cane toads and poisonous snakes right now, but we're going to try.
Oh, fantastic.
Honestly, it's great
today.
Fun. Thanks, Pete.
On the Discovery Channel. Mike Rowe, is he the best?
Yeah.
I said
no.
Come on,
guys.
You're very
thanks
good.
So much for joining us. Our weekly visit with the Ace Man coming up. This week in Rage with Adam Carolla after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
You know, it's a little known fact that Adam Carolla's voice is strangely reminiscent of the cane toad.
Is that right?
Yeah. If you walk around Australia, you hear that in the bush. What's with Ziploc bags? You hear that in the bush all the time. Very strange. Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some more passes to give away to the very special advanced K-Rock screening of The Possession.
Yay!
Very scary film starring Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Kira Sedgwick. Spooky story of a young girl who buys an antique only to find that it's possessed by a malicious ancient spirit that possesses her. The father and mother of this child have to try to find some way to end the curse. Movies in everywhere theaters. Nope, movies in theaters everywhere. On August the 31st. If you'd like to see it before anybody else, on Tuesday, August the 28th at the AMC Burbank, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers will get a pair of passes. And you can tell your friends, Possession? Seen
saw
it. Really? You're just getting to it? Well, whatever. Okay, fine.
Do you have to make all those noises?
You have to make all those noises, yeah. Great story this morning about the royal family, Prince Harry, in Las Vegas, Nevada.
He's poorly named, by the way. I've seen the photos.
He is not Harry at all. Prince Smooth. He was in Vegas this weekend having a good old time playing a little strip billiards in his VIP suite.
Sure. Like people do, right? Strip billiards.
He's not good at billiards, apparently, because he is stripped bare-ass naked. So I'm guessing he did not do so well in the game. But luckily for him, his female friend is also not very good at billiards, and they are both nude. cavorting throughout the suite, hugging, wrestling, what have you, and I guess Prince Harry didn't lay down the no cell phone pictures law in his suite before things got...
How upset must the royal family be? That's awesome.
Listen, let me tell you something. And I told this to the kids in the other room as we were talking about it. The royal family's been doing a lot worse stuff than this the entire British Empire during its reign. However, he lives in the cell phone photograph era.
Yes, he does.
And so I think they are naturally publicly embarrassed by this. The royal family says they have no comment to make on the photos at the time, except that Harry seems to be able to hide his genitals with one hand very easily.
That's true. That is true.
Let me ask you guys this question.
Go.
Would you rather be Prince William, firstborn and the future King of England, or would you rather be Prince Harry, who gets all the benefits of being in the royal family and gets to do stuff like this and have it not really matter?
Look, if you're a prince, this is what you should be doing. You should be going to Vegas.
This should be happening.
Getting naked, playing billiards, boozing it up, making it rain. You're a prince.
So you guys would give up the crown to be this guy and live a life of complete luxury and do whatever the hell you want.
The crown would suck.
The crown, you get all of the pressure and none of the power of being a ruler, first of all, because you don't really get to call any shots anymore, being the king of England.
And then it's 100% just PR crap. Your whole life.
And you're living Harry's, in that fishbowl.
Harry wins.
You're held to
Harry
a higher wins. Standard, even though you don't really get anything out of the job, other than the fact you don't have to work for a living so much. So Harry gets to be prince. And
I think I'm with you. I think it's better to be second born then.
The Queen did comment.
Oh, she did. I've spoken to the Queen about it on Thursday.
So she's got an excellent point there. Kim Kardashian's in the news.
Who?
Who? Porn star Kim Kardashian. And in this particular story, those words have never been truer. An adult film performer named Julian St. Jox has come forward and announced that he and another adult film performer had a threesome with Kim Kardashian.
All right.
Can't be mad at that.
No, you can't. Apparently, however, this happened way back in 2001.
Is there video?
No, there is no video. Julian recounts the story of he was at a swingers party in Culver City. Around 11:30 p.m., Kim Kardashian showed up. And then 20-year-old Kim Kardashian showed up with a black man. Shock! She was being escorted by an African-American gentleman who may have been her then-husband, music producer Damon Thomas, although it's not clear who her escort was at the time. Julian says he and fellow porn actor Emily Ann were instantly interested in Kim, propositioned her, led to a three-way in a private room at the swingers party. Kim looked like she was enjoying herself very much, he said. She was a little submissive, but she was good. She knew what she was doing. She was very responsive to me. And so apparently, Kim had a great time.
All right.
I stopped listening after 20-year-old Kim Kardashian. I had to daydream a little bit.
Yeah,
there,
that was back when she was hot. None of that old, haggard Kim Kardashian we have now.
Now, we have no way of knowing whether any of this is true or not, but doesn't it seem unlikely that somebody would come forward with this now that she's been famous for 4 years? Like, where was this information
before?
I
choose to believe this.
It absolutely is true.
Just because I want it to
exactly.
Be.
Okay.
Because I'm willing it into being.
All right. Done.
But why would someone make up this story 10 years later either?
That's true. Don't have any way of knowing. We don't know anything about this person who's coming forward.
If you're going to make something up, it just seems odd that you would randomly say, 10 years ago I had sex with somebody. Why didn't you say, last week I had sex with her?
Right, but it's also odd to sit on that information once she becomes white-hot famous the first year, and then the second year, and then the third year, and then what happened today that makes you wake up and now want to tell the story? That's what strikes me as odd.
Emily Ann ran into Julian St. Jox at a party and said, remember that three-way we had?
Oh,
that was Kim Kardashian.
What?
Could be.
I forgot because that was 4,000 threesomes ago. That girl was Kim Kardashian?
I choose to believe
her. I got to tell someone, get me radaronline.com on the phone.
So much beef.
So much beef indeed.
That's alleged.
Yes, it is. All of the above is true. Today's celebrity birthday is Kristen Wiig. I love her so much. 39 years old today. Listen, Kristen Wiig, she did Joe Schmo with me years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Was super talented. Everybody looked around at each other and said, this girl's going to blow up. If anybody's going to blow up, it's going to be this girl. And we were right. And here's the thing about Kristen, though, you would think, being a big star that she is, the first available opportunity, she would ignore the crap out of me.
Well, of course.
But she is always so sweet. Every time I run into her, she is just the kindest, nicest, sweetest person. I just adore her.
She doesn't pretend she doesn't know you like everyone
else? She does not pretend that she doesn't know me. She's a doll. And I wish her nothing but the best, and I hope
more good things come her way. She is 39 years old today. Happy birthday, Kristen. Ty Burrell from Modern Family is 45 years old today. James DeBarge of DeBarge fame turns 49. And Tori Amos, singer, songwriter, piano player extraordinaire. I miss her. I wish she'd be on our show. She hasn't been on a long time.
It's been a while.
She's 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I know I should have learned my lesson by now, but why are the Killers so good?
Unanswerable question,
right?
Adam Carolla is, of course, the host of the Adam Carolla podcast, the world's most downloaded. You can see him on stage tonight at the Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock for just $25 to spend the evening with the Ace Man, and you should. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. And before we get to This Week in Rage, Adam, I was watching the dashboard cam video that you put up on your website this week.
Oh, thanks.
Where were you racing? You were in Monterey or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I was at the Laguna Seca doing the Rolex Historics.
You have talked to us a little bit in the past, but I think a lot of people listening may be unaware how deep you are into this racing thing. I mean, this is a real passion of yours, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's fun. They get a huge crowd. And, you know, the track has $500 million worth of historic race cars on it. Like, there's literally $30 million Ferrari GTOs out there racing. They had an all-Cobra race, the Shelby Cobra. 45 Cobras on the track at once, and they're all $2 million, and they're all old men banging into each other.
Wow.
Yeah,
why? Please help us understand why somebody would risk their $2 million car for 15 minutes of fun.
I don't know. Well, they usually pay guys to drive them oftentimes. I mean, the guys with the $10 million cars usually hire some ex-driver to drive it. But I don't know why. Why do rich guys want to eat sushi off of naked virgins, you know?
No, that's understandable.
Because they're rich. Because
they can?
Yeah, right, you got to prove to people you're rich. What do you think? Why do you think they invented the Nugget Gold Watch? You have to let people know you're rich, and putting your $10 million car on a track and trying to break it lets everyone know you've arrived.
All right, last question on this. What car were you driving, and how much did it cost?
I was driving two Datsuns, a 510 BRE Pete Brock car who was with Shelby back in the day. And that car is like 150 grand, not that much. And then a cheap car, 280ZX. So I had the two like cheapest cars out
there. Not that much, 150 grand, not that much.
Well, compared to a $3 million cars you're in the race with. But, yeah, you can go to adamcarolla.com and watch a lap and watch these guys blowing past me.
Yeah, it's super fun. I love that you're still the guy from the Valley who brings the beater to the nice party. I like that so much.
I bring the Datsun. And the worst part ever about the whole thing is last year I did win the Rolex Cup in a Datsun, and everyone's first question is, did it come with a watch?
Sure.
And they say, no, it did not. And they go, I'm sorry to hear that. And they walk away. And I go, but wait, I won a cup for racing. And they go, sorry, buddy. Maybe next year.
AdamCarolla.com to see the video and buy tickets for the show tonight at Irvine. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, speaking of Irvine, I don't know if you guys know this, but just list just came out, 6 best place to live. In the United States, the only place in California that made the top 10. And as you know, I just want numbers assigned to cities so people know how crappy they are, because Irvine doesn't sound like much when you're living in Minnesota,
right,
or you're living in Cleveland or Pittsburgh and you're thinking of moving out west. You go, Irvine? Hell no. I don't want to go to that place called Hawaiian Gardens. Why would you want to live in a crappy named Irvine? Or how about, wait a minute, Panorama City? Sounds like the city of the future. Sunland, Sun Valley, screw Irvine.
So how would your numbering system work?
Well, Irvine could be, you know, number 3, and then Hawaiian Gardens would be 857.
When
the guy from Minnesota was thinking about moving his family out here, he'd find the number and go, maybe we should live in the Irvine area instead of Panorama City, which is coming in at number 914. And you know how they work it out. People think it's some sort of algorithm with schools and roads and potholes.
Yeah,
and
I thought that's what it was.
No. It's Pinkberry per person.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Irvine has one Pinkberry for every 2.3 people living in Irvine.
Wow.
Yeah, there's literally hundreds of thousands of Pinkberries. they're actually on top of each other. People are assigned their own Pinkberry. Because I guarantee you, in Hawaiian Gardens, there ain't one Pinkberry.
That's probably true.
There's a Brownberry, and nobody goes. And speaking of Pebble Beach, yes, after doing my racing on the track, it was time to head down to Pebble Beach and do a little, you know, soak up some libations and enjoy the beautiful Duesenbergs and listen to the dulcet tones of Jay Leno as he cracked wise to the crowd. And I was in the Jaguar suite trying to get drunk, and I was waiting for the bathroom. And I was standing away from the door, and somebody who worked there walked up and said, "Are you waiting for the bathroom?" And I said, "Yeah, but I don't know if there's anyone in there." And the guy just went, "Hey, you in there?" And the guy went, "Excuse you?" And the guy went, "Hey, someone's in there." And then he walked away. And I thought, thanks.
now you're on the hook.
Now I'm on the hook. The guy's going to open the door, and I'm going to be standing there. I had to hide. I had to hide. And then I thought, people, if we would just adopt my bathroom etiquette policy.
Now, what's that?
All these troubles are going. Door closed means occupied.
Oh, I see.
You never fully close a bathroom door unless it's occupied. Door closed, occupied. Door open, crap away. Come on down. Door ajar, enter at your own risk.
I see.
And then we would never have that, "Excuse you!" And then you have to hide and pretend like it wasn't you, and then hold it, and then have that thing where 10 minutes later you casually decide, "Hey, gay, guess what? I just decided I have to go to the bathroom. I just thought of it a second ago."
Sure
not
didn't
before.
Have to 10 minutes ago.
It did not happen 10 minutes ago. Check my knuckles. There's no red marks on them for banging on the door. I'm going to go in the bathroom. I don't even know where the bathroom is. Where's the bathroom? And last but not least, my son wanted me to help him construct a Lego dinosaur yesterday, and then he did the cutest thing ever. He held up the box, and he pointed at the what ages it was meant for,
right,
and said, "Are you old enough to do this?" And it said 6 to 12, and I said, "Sorry, I'm too old."
Right.
Which actually means I'll be bored off my ass if I put this dinosaur together with you.
Uh-huh.
And first off, I don't know why they need an ending age. Just say 6 on up. Maybe I'm 39 and severely retarded and want to build a dinosaur, number one. But number two, really the rule should be if you're older than the highest number on there, you can't help your son.
You don't have to.
You don't have to. You're going to be bored to death.
Sorry, son. It says I'm too old.
I'm too old. I will be bored. I'll have to go down to Home Depot and get a day laborer to do this.
I think he is old enough to learn the tough lessons of life that sometimes you're just on your own, kid.
That's
right.
Right. That's right. Dad's going to take a nap.
AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the Ace podcasts and videos and tickets, including tonight at the Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock. Tickets just $25. Thanks, Ace. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
We don't talk about Little League Baseball very often, but I think there may be another scandal brewing unless somebody can produce a birth certificate on this star Japanese player. Have you seen this guy?
The 6 foot. 206 pound.
6 foot, 206 pounds. He claims to be 13. He looks like he's about 35 to me. His name is Kotaro Kiyomiya, and he is currently playing in the Little League World Series. He has an 80-mile-an-hour fastball, Lisa. He's 13.
Oh, my God.
Now,
come on.
Because their pitching mound is closer to the plate than the major leagues, they say it's the equivalent in the major leagues of 104 miles per hour.
What? What a freak.
And he hit 60 home runs in the last 50 games as well. So he is a threat on both sides of the plate. So what's the deal with this kid? Can he really be 13 years old? Because it just doesn't seem you have that skills and that build at that age. And you're from Japan, by the way, not known for breeding the biggest athletes in the world outside of sumo, right?
You would think.
All right, so we asked producer Dave if there's any way we could line him up. And sure enough, the young superstar of Little League, Kotaro Kiyomiya, is on the phone with us right now. Kotaro, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm so grateful that you speak English. We forgot to ask ahead of time. Welcome.
Thank you. I am happy to be talking to you.
You are 13 years old?
That's right. I'm 13.
Okay.
Right. Don't anyone say otherwise. I am only 13 years old.
But, well, you're awfully big, even for your age, even for an athlete. I mean, 206 pounds at 13. I mean, yes, you're bigger than many adults.
I am big and 13.
Right.
Right. But what else you got?
You seem bigger than a 13-year-old.
I know. I'm really big for 13, huh?
Right. Uh-huh.
I sure am big. And 13.
So, right. So you were born, if you would have us believe, and this is not a trick question, but in what year?
Let me see. I was born in 1990.
That would make you 23.
I was born in 2000.
Okay.
1999.
Yeah,
there you go. See, this is what the bouncers do, is they ask what year you were born when they're trying to see if you've got a fake ID or not. I wonder if we might have just caught you with a little something there.
Oh, you didn't.
What? I'm 13. You said 1990, though. I mean, that was your answer.
No, my English is not so good.
Oh, it was a translation issue. Yeah.
In Japan, 9 and 0 look very much alike.
I see. Okay.
So did you vote for President Reagan?
I did not vote for any American president. I'm Japanese.
I'm just trying to throw some questions at him. Yeah, just trying to figure out a way to. How do we decide if this kid is really 13 or not? He sounds older too, by the way.
No, I'm not older. I am 13.
What's the highest year of school you finished?
The highest year of school.
Yeah.
What's the highest year of school you finished?
Did you finish high school?
No, I didn't finish high school. I'm 13.
All right. That wasn't a very good trip up.
No, I was strong.
how old were you when you got your driver's license?
I was. Wait a minute.
Yeah!
I'm not driving yet. I am just 13.
No. What?
I sure am big, though.
You're a big guy.
Yes, you are. You're certainly a big guy. 13. You're way bigger than the average 13-year-old.
I am very big.
Right.
And
six,
it
six
is
feet.
Crazy that I am so big and yet so young.
Right.
I'm 13 years old.
A lot of people probably don't buy it.
Some people would say, you can't be 13.
Right.
I would say, I am 13.
What's your favorite alcoholic beverage? What drink do you like to unwind with at the end of a long day?
Well, you know, I like to pop open a bottle. Hey, wait a minute. I'm 13. I don't drink yet.
Oh, I see. You're too young.
That's right.
I'm out. I don't know how to trick him. What was your...
I have fooled you, Round Eye.
What do you mean you fooled us? You said you're 13.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I have convinced you, Round Eye.
Rafael Romero from Los Angeles won his tickets for Offspring and Neon Trees. He'll be seeing them October 5th at the Palladium and is eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday to maybe send him to New York City to see both bands again. Offspring and Neon Trees fans, get over to KROQ.com for all the details. I think there's a way you can register online to win a pair as well. Ralph Garman is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
It's a Canadian royal wedding. Avril Lavigne and Nickelback frontman Chad Kroeger have announced they're engaged.
That's royal, did you say?
Well...
Royal?
They don't have any royalty in Canada, so, you know, it's showbiz royalty.
Nickelback.
Avril Lavigne, one of their biggest stars, and Nickelback, one of their biggest bands.
Yeah, I'm sure this is huge news up there.
Yeah. Chad dropped some major money on his engagement ring for Avril, a 14-carat diamond ring. Now, I'm not well-versed in the ways of gemology.
Right.
So give me an inkling, Lisa. You're abroad. You must know this stuff. 14
ridiculous.
Carat. What are we talking about? Give me a rough estimate. Give me a size.
It's got to be that big.
Maybe the size of a quarter, maybe?
Bigger, I would think.
You'd think? Bigger than like a half
at
dollar
least
size?
That
can't be. That can't be. Right? That
it's
can't
ginormous.
Be.
Oh, my God. Is it really that big?
She doesn't seem like the kind who would wear giant diamonds on her. Does she?
Well, no. And she couldn't support it.
That's true, too. She's not
just getting
enough.
Around would be difficult with that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why does he have to go make things so complicated?
Wow.
I'm just wondering.
Really? I don't know. I thought that was pretty well done.
It would be difficult for her to work her way around, right?
You know, he took a long way, and he waited for us.
You filled in the gaps.
That was sweet. We stepped right in his trap.
I didn't know there was a woman, Lisa, who's not the type to wear a 14-carat diamond ring. I thought that was pretty much everyone.
Better party of one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Woo! No, chicks like diamonds. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
That's all he's saying.
Mm-hmm. That's all he's saying.
He has to buy his women.
Well, she shouldn't get around Lindsay Lohan.
No kidding.
Because the cops are interviewing her about a jewel heist.
That's alleged.
It is alleged, but she apparently was at a party in the Hollywood Hills last Sunday night, and the owner of the home at the end of the party recognized that some valuables were missing. Jewelry, watches, sunglasses, mixing, so he called the cops, and the cops questioned a few people on the scene, including Lindsay, who was a guest at the party. She does have a prior.
She has sticky fingers.
She does have a prior. Yeah. She walked out of that jewelry store with that necklace. So they put her under the light there like that, and they sweated her, and they put lines of cocaine in front of her, wouldn't let her do them. Just really stressed her out. But
I mean, it's possible she was just, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time. It doesn't seem like trouble seems to follow this lady around.
Or it's possible that two men that she brought to the party are the ones who committed the crime.
Interesting. So she can have an alibi.
She's got a gang.
That's sweet.
They got the Crips, the Bloods, and the Firecrotches. out there committing crimes. Lindsay apparently said to the cops, am I a suspect? And they said, well, no, not right now. And she went, refused to answer any more questions and stormed off.
Wow.
She knows her rights. The one good thing about being in the legal system many times as she has is she's well aware of her rights.
She's been in that situation so many times, she really knows how to handle herself.
She does. She's like her own jailhouse lawyer. And while we're talking about celebrities and crime, LL Cool J lives in the lovely neighborhood of Studio City. Apparently this morning, a gentleman decided to enter his domicile and remove some of the belongings there. Burglar broke into his house 1 o'clock in the morning. LL Cool J was up at the time in the kitchen, heard him come in, and apparently there was an altercation, and LL Cool J, well, let's say by the time cops got there, he had apprehended the criminal, and the guy looked pretty beat up.
The Kevin B. microphones were there. Oh, great.
That is some serious. He really. He just sounds like he.
Oh,
that's where I think the problem was. Perhaps it was at that moment. Oh, at that man. Point.
Oof. Oh, that was the final blow.
That's the Widowmaker right there.
All right, so you guys are LL Cool J. You hear the noise in the other part of the house. You realize there's an intruder. Do you go down into that room and confront, or do you hide in the closet and call 911 and just wait?
Well, I would think back on what my my mother always told me about those situations.
F you both.
And Mama said, knock you out.
Yeah!
That was strong.
That's what I would have done.
That was strong.
Yeah.
We don't get to decide if that was strong.
Why not? Why can't someone do something nice? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, f*** you.
Because you don't know when you go in there whether the guy's got a gun or what the situation is. You don't know what's going to be ultimately safer for you.
That's foolish. Foolish.
Is it?
I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad it worked out for LL Cool J, but that is foolish.
Yeah.
Because you don't know if the guy's got a weapon or something. That's right. And I bet LL Cool J wasn't strapped at 1 o'clock in the morning in his kitchen making cocoa or whatever doing. I think he walks around just with shoulder holsters on at all times. Like NCIS, LA, or whatever that show he's on.
I do.
Yeah. Congratulations to our buddy Jimmy Kimmel, who has announced yesterday that his show, starting on January the 8th, is being moved to 11:35 p.m.
This is great news.
It is great news. Great news for Jim. He is finally in direct competition with Jay Leno and David Letterman. The reason he is being so rewarded is because his broadcast is the only late-night program to actually increase its viewership over the past season. A 3% jump in total viewers for Jimmy. And ABC said, look, Nightline not doing so well. Let's move Jimmy into that slot and give him a chance to really shine. So congratulations.
How about that? That's fantastic.
Dude just got engaged. His show just got their first Emmy nomination for the late night category. He's hosting the Emmys. He hosted the White House Correspondents' Dinner. It's a good time to be Kimmel.
Yeah,
no kidding.
A lot going on in his life right now.
Well, Jimmy Kimmel, it's an honor, man.
That's right.
But it'll
President help. Said so.
It'll help you to know that he's still miserable.
Oh yeah, sure. Well, he wouldn't be Jimmy otherwise. He still falls asleep for no reason, right? He's still got narcolepsy. Really?
Still
Daylight saving still throws him. I mean, he's still Jim.
Yeah.
That's the nice thing about Jim.
A lot of problems.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Tori Amos is 49 years old today. She is one of my favorites. James DeBarge of the band DeBarge is 49.
Can we put a ban on the DeBarges? Everybody that has the last name DeBarge, you have to give a birthday shout-out
to? You
want to
create a DeBargo?
Yes, I do. I didn't think of anything that witty, but yes, I do.
A DeBarge embargo?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I would like to do that.
All right. I will live by that.
All right. Fantastic.
Ty Burrell of Modern Family is 45 years old today. Kristen Wiig, one of my favorites. Of course, from Saturday Night Live, and now wildly successful movie career with Bridesmaids and upcoming films, 39 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about stuff like we do.
Okay.
Oh, good.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you tomorrow. We have Harry Shearer on the program tomorrow.
Oh, legend.
Got a new comedy CD. We have Bean's Death Corner, and we have in studio Jay Moore.
Awesome.
How about that? Pretty good show. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.